The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Tuesday, November 26th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, New Jersey-based A.C. Moore announced it will close all of its more than 145 stores. The company based in Berlin-Camden County is no longer taking online orders as of Monday, but will ship orders that have already been placed. CEO Anthony Piperno said, "For over 30 years, our stores have been servicing the creative community with a vast selection of art and craft materials with one common focus, the customer."
I love A.C. Moore.
Yeah.
We go probably maybe once a week or every other week at least.
That was, you know what, that's my craft store. I like it much better than some of the other ones. But
more than Michael's? I mean, it's kind of the same thing, isn't it?
You know what? It was cheaper. That's why I liked AC Moore. Okay. It was cheaper than some. You could get some of the same things. Michael's has a little more variety.
Yeah, my wife would go to both. And with Michael's was closer, so we'd end up with Michael's more.
That's what it is, out of convenience. There's no AC Moore that's close to me. I would have to go, Case, to the one in Delaware County near you. Or, like, you know, if I was heading back to Bucks County, I would go to the one that's there. But
see,
just
we have one that's close to us. This sucks.
Yeah,
this is a bummer.
It's
for
a shame.
Yeah.
And also, you know what? People being out of now, some of those people are going to be absorbed into the Michaels, but it sucks. There's a lot of stores to close.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I couldn't tell you which one is closest. I just know it's the craft store. The craft store is next to the PetSmart and the Giant. I don't know if it's an AC Moore or Michaels. They're basically, in my mind, they're the same exact thing.
You know
thing.
What? I don't even do really crafts, but I go and my wife gets so excited. She walks around and I'm like, she's buying, oh, look at these styrofoam balls.
I have like a closet filled with stuff from AC Moore and Michaels that, like, I pulled out a bag the other day and I'm like, I wonder what I was going to make with these.
Oh, yeah. Same with Claire from the arts and crafts store. Oh, this is for candles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, we've got my daughter's really into art, so we are constantly buying canvas and paints and brushes and all that stuff all the time.
So are they going to have, like, huge blowout sales then? Or?
You know what? I don't know. So, unfortunately,
prices have never been lower?
Given the headwinds facing many retailers in today's environment, it's made it very difficult for us to operate and compete on a national level. Mm. Michael Craft Stores will assume the leases up to 40 AC Moore locations on the East Coast and a distribution center. Those 40 locations will remain open under the Michael's name in 2020, but the individual stores have not yet been chosen. Like, so the AC Moore that I do go to sometimes in Bucks County is right next door to a Michael, so obviously that one's going to be absorbed.
So arts and crafts is obviously you have stores that support it. Is that you go to the store for arts and crafts supplies. You don't order online, right?
I mean, you can.
Yeah.
There was an online function for AC Moore
for
Michaels as well. Yeah, sometimes they don't have, like, for instance, if you're trying to spell out Merry Christmas and you're missing the M, you have to order it online.
Okay, all right. I can see that.
But I know what you're saying, Steve. Like, there are some things that just lend itself to going
just
to Amazon.
Just going to the store.
Then there's other things where you're like, let me just go to the store so I know exactly what I'm getting, size-wise and all that sort of stuff.
Right. Yeah.
The move will allow AC Moore employees in the locations that they choose to keep open under the Michael's name. They'll give them the opportunity to keep their jobs. No time frame was given on that transition or the closing of the chain's other stores. AC Moore's parent company, Nicole Crafts, has partnered with Gordon Brothers and brought on a chief restructuring officer to assist in the closing. AC Moore opened its first store in Morristown, Burlington County in 1985. In April of 2017, the company opened a 27,000 flagship store at the corner of Broad and Chestnut Streets in Center City. The company currently has more than 5,000 employees. Two people were killed inside their Berks County home by a man who then set himself on fire in a nearby garage, state police said Monday. Police in Berks County say the three bodies were found after crews were dispatched to the 900 block of Chestnut Street in Union Township shortly before 5:30 on Saturday. Police identified two of the deceased as 60-year-old Ira Reed Jr. and 63-year-old Joanne DeLuca. Investigators said both died of blunt force trauma injuries before the fire. The weapon used was a hammer, police said. The identity of the third person has not yet been made public, but authorities said that there was no lingering danger to the public.
Is this the guy who also killed the pets as well?
Yes, it is, Steve. Yeah, police said it's believed that the man poured a flammable liquid on himself and then set himself on fire in a detached garage. Authorities said that there were multiple dogs that were found with their throat slashed and two cats were stomped to death. Berks County DA, John Adams, came short of saying DeLuca's son was behind this murderous rampage, but he did say this case was all but closed. Neighbors said a family of three, a couple and their adult son, moved to the property several years ago after losing their southern New Jersey home in Superstorm Sandy. Bill Cosby says he's prepared to serve his 10-year maximum sentence for sexual assault rather than show remorse for a crime the comedian says he didn't commit. Cosby is serving 3 to 10 years in a state prison near Philadelphia after a jury last year convicted him of sexually assaulting a Temple University employee in 2004.
Preston, you live close to him. Could you go talk sense into him if you know
could.
Though,
I'll bring him some pound cake and we'll sit down and talk a little bit. Yeah.
But that's just a stubborn old man. He's not. He is not going to admit to it. He's saying he did not do
it. No, he's got his legacy. You know what I mean? His career.
Leonard Part 6.
Well, you know, I mean, no, listen, he was one of the greatest stand-ups of all time. One of the greatest comedic minds of all time. And he's not going to
bow, even though he's been found guilty.
Because he's America's dad. Was America's dad for a long time. And so he won't relinquish that. In his mind, this is nothing wrong.
The 82-year-old says the Pennsylvania Parole Board is not going to hear me say I have remorse. So it's unlikely that he'll be released early.
He listens to us, right, President? Don't you think so? Maybe a little portable radio.
Yeah, or somebody nearby there. He's got to be picking up something. They've got to listen to the block.
Yes, I'm calling for the word of the week. I get one call.
Bill? He made the
win Kathy's holiday gift list.
That sounds so exciting.
Yeah.
You can't go shopping.
No, I can't make a lot of them.
He made the comments in a phone interview on Sunday with Black Press USA as he appeals his felony conviction and sex offender status. Legal experts say sex offenders typically must show remorse to be considered for parole.
That usually helps.
Yeah. In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Sixers lost to the Raptors last night in Toronto. Joel Embiid was held scoreless for the first time in his career in Toronto's 101-96 win. It was the first meeting between the teams since Kawhi Leonard's dramatic buzzer beater that bounced off the rim 4 times before dropping the winning basket in Game 7 of the second round of the playoffs. Last night, Embiid shot 0 for 11, missing all 4 of his shots from the three-point range and going 0 for 3 at the free throw line. The Sixers are back home tomorrow night with the game against the Sacramento Kings. Tip-off is at 7 o'clock. The Flyers beat the Vancouver Canucks last night at the
center.
Jake Voracek scored with 8:33 left in the third period to lead the Flyers to a 2-1 win over the Canucks. The Flyers took charge in the second with a 17-4 shot average and tied the game 5:54 into the period on a goal by Sean Couturier. Voracek's game winner came off a feed from Justin Braun, and Carter Hart earned the win with 16 saves and 17 shots. The Flyers are on the road tomorrow night with a game in Columbus against the Blue Jackets. And last night in Monday Night Football, the Baltimore Ravens beat up on the Rams, winning 45-6 in Los Angeles. Lamar Jackson matched his career high with 5 touchdown passes and ran for 95 yards, and Baltimore routed LA for their 7th straight win to improve to 9-2 on the season. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you, Kathy. Got a nice hot cup of Dunkin' right here. Casey's face on my mug. I'm all ready to go.
I love it.
Ready for a Tuesday morning. We have some guests on the program. We have some things to give away. We've got some information to share with you through the course of the day. It's a Tuesday. Casey just put this in front of me. So we're giving away a Preston and Steve tattoo. Text the word tattoo to 39333. You might win a $350 gift certificate for world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo. As far as our guests in the studio this morning go, we have the authors of the Worst Case Scenario book. Survival Experience is the event that's taking place at the Franklin Institute. And this book has all kinds of things, said little scenarios on how would you survive. Maybe a bear attack or falling in an elevator or
all of that. They do paranormal, too.
Really?
All of that stuff. So there's about like 30 books now in the series. We had them when they first came out, Preston, with that first book in 1999. We had them on the show.
So we have David and Josh who are stopping by this morning. We are also going to have, from our sister station, Miss Debbie Calton coming by. Why? Because Debbie is retiring from broadcasting next week.
Yeah.
And she's had a really awesome long career, specifically at WMGK. So she's going to stop in this morning, and we're going to talk to Debbie and see what's on her mind. She's getting ready to wrap up her career. Wow, that's hard to believe. We also have our friends from the Ridley House who are stopping by this morning. For a meet and eat, and we will have some giveaways in conjunction with those guys. They're on McDade Boulevard in Ridley, the Ridley House. So listen up for your chance to win some stuff from them, and I'm sure we have some other things that we can give away to you as well. And we made some announcements about things that we're going to have to reiterate through the course of the morning. Like, let me see here. Hang on a second. The Christmas Miracle, we announced that yesterday. That is coming up on December 19th at Parks Casino. Headed back there to the Excite Center. We used to do it in what was called the 360 Lounge. They changed that into their sports book. And then last year was the first time we did it in their Excite Center. It was awesome.
It was really cool.
Bigger and better. And so we will have your chance. We'll tell you about that a little bit later on. But just mark the date for now. It's going to be on Thursday, December 19th. And it is the Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Edition as well. So your chance to win some stuff if you wear ugly sweaters. So we have these things and more. We're going to take a quick break, come back in a second. We'll get into the entertainment report, the stupid question. All that stuff is coming up when we get back. Make sure you stay with us.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, we're going to give away a prize for the stupid question, and that's a family four-pack of tickets for the worst-case scenario. We are going to have, it's a survival experience now at the Franklin Institute. We're going to have the authors in later on this morning. Question that I have for you today has to do with the St. Bernard dog.
Beautiful dog.
Of what breed group is the St. Bernard a part, according to the American Kennel Club? 215-263-WMMR. Of what breed group is the St. Bernard a part, according to the American Kennel Club? One of my daughter's really good friends, they have a St. Bernard. Whenever we go to the house, the dog is just gigantic.
It blows your mind how just the head. The head is the head. Both your dogs together.
Yeah, easily. Yeah.
Matt Court's sister, right, Caroline?
Yes.
Gigantic.
Yep. All right, let's see if you know the group that they're in. 215-263-WMMR. So, birthdays today on Tuesday, November 26th, include a legend who is turning 80 years old, the one and only Tina Turner.
Wow. Hey.
Celebrates her birthday today. Her birth name was Anna Mae Bullock. She's a dynamo, man.
If you want a really, now obviously it's a Hollywood depiction of her life story, but it's a pretty damn good one, is What's Love Got to Do With
It's an amazing movie.
Yeah.
It really is.
Bassett is spot on.
Yeah. And, God, the whole
Ike, all Lawrence the
stuff
Fishburne.
She went through, man, oh man.
Talk about being brutalized over the course of years by somebody who just mentally, physically, everything you could possibly do to someone, and yet she still triumphed.
Yep, absolutely. And she was huge. She had a great career in the 1970s, but once she went out on her own, the 1980s, she just had a gigantic resurgence of on her own.
What was the song? You Better Be Good to Me. She does with the guy from The Fix, right?
Oh, yeah. Her and Cy Kernan did.
Was that that song?
I don't remember.
It's a really good song.
They did a duo, yeah. She had a bunch of great tunes. So happy birthday to the great Tina Turner. She's 80 years old today. Rich Little, the actor and impressionist. Regular on The Tonight Show.
I loved him. He used to be on a show called The Copycats with three or four other great impressionists.
Yeah.
And like Frank Gorshin, who played the Riddler on the original Batman. But he's probably, his list of impressions, probably the lengthiest.
It was vast.
Yeah.
Most definitely. So Rich Little, 81 years old today. John McVie, the bassist for Fleetwood Mac, the Mac of McVie, along with
love this band,
Christine McVie as well. Yeah, yeah, they were one of those groups that, you know, we had talked about in the past of, you know, with all these biopics of Queen and Elton John and so on, who would be a good story. Fleetwood Mac would, but Fleetwood Mac would need to be like a series.
Yeah, because everyone dated everyone at some point.
And then they all, when they split off too, they had their own successes, and then they came back together. So you could explore some of that stuff.
And Christine McVie dated Dennis Wilson, right?
Oh, I don't know. Did she?
Yeah. And then that when she was dating him, I think he drowned when he was surfing.
Wow. Well, John McVie, the bassist, is 74 years old today. Peter Facinelli,
hey!
Who played Carlisle Cullen in the Twilight movie.
You were Team Cullen, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, my dad's name is Cullen. Or Cuthbert.
Cuthbert is right. As Bill says.
Yeah. Bill thinks my dad's name is Cuthbert. He's married to Annabelle.
Oh, oh man.
Preston's mother's Annabelle.
Jesus.
So some much people about call her Annabelle.
So much about that.
Annabelle.
Annabelle.
We got to get the doll so that when you pull the string on the back, you just hear that.
We had
Annabelle.
We had the doll.
Where did it go?
Well, listen, with the big move and it might be in a bin somewhere.
You always lose your cursed dolls in a move.
Peter Pacinelli was also in 6 Feet Under. Ex-husband of Jenny Garth, by the way.
Yes.
46 years old.
Really?
Yeah. And then the last birthday I saw is Rita Ora.
Mm. Oh, I love her.
Singer and actress. She was in the Fast and Furious 6. She was also in the 50 Shades of Grey trilogy. Didn't see one of those movies. Not one of them.
A solid singer, but she is very sexy.
Yeah.
She did actually a riff on the Mean Girls, the number where they're singing and performing for the school. She did that, and it's a phenomenal piece of video.
I saw the first 50 Shades.
Was it good? Did you like it?
You know, and at the end, I was like, well, now I kind of want to know, like, what happens next.
Weren't you surprised that it actually sort of lived up to the boundary pushing that, you know, I thought they'd pull back a little bit, but it actually went a little further than I thought a mainstream release would go.
Yeah.
Well, she's the sub in the first movie, right? Does she eventually start taking on more of a role of the Dom?
Yeah, by the third one, she's a driving brodozer. Yeah.
Wow. Rita Ora. I love saying Rita that way.
Rita!
29
Rita.
Years old.
Zuda.
All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question of what breed group is the St. Bernard a part? 215-263. WMMR is the number. So we will go to Chris for the answer. Hey, Chris.
Hey, good morning.
Morning, bud. So what breed of, what group is the St. Bernard a part of?
Is it the working group?
The working dogs, yes.
I'm just a working dog.
That's correct, Chris. Hang on. We're going to give you a family 4-pack of tickets for the worst case scenario survival experience. Now open at the Franklin Institute. You can order tickets. Just visit fi.edu.
They do WordPress, and I actually saw one piece of footage where a dog was punching in the morning.
Okay.
With a car.
Oh, my God.
Was there also a coyote that was?
Yes,
okay,
you're right.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Literally said morning, Sam, to somebody
exactly.
today.
They were very cordial, yeah. But then during the workday, they were at each other's throats.
I saw one of the construction workers in the hallway, and I was like, morning, Sam.
Really?
And as I was walking away, any response? Because I was going into the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I wonder if he understands that that reference.
This guy thinks my name is Sam. It's really weird.
It's obviously a come on. This guy wants me going to the bathroom.
All right, okay, so we have appropriate music for this because I didn't even know that it was last night, but apparently the finale, and the Bachelorette alum Hannah Brown and Alan Burstyn were crowned the winners of season 28 of Dancing with the Stars last night. It should have been Kate Flannery.
It should have been. I was watching footage of Hannah, though, and I have to say she definitely is a solid dancer.
I'm sure she earned it, yeah.
But we feel robbed.
As much as she is hot, man.
She is. She is I've really come around hot. On that, Preston. I did not think so, watching The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
But Dancing with the Stars, I have to agree.
So they beat out fellow finalists Lauren Elena, Allie Brooke, and Kel Mitchell, and their professional partners for the coveted Mirror Ball Trophy. I don't have any other real information to pass along other than the night also featured musical performances from Cher, Pitbull, and Neo.
What a special night.
Did anybody see Cher last night?
I didn't see one second of it.
Kate Flannery did, and she is a huge Cher fan.
Is she?
Yeah, and
I can see that.
She was what Pierre likes to refer to as godheading. She was just like nodding her head. She was thrilled to be in the same room with Cher.
I love that.
They're all going to GMA this morning. Do you know if Kate is part of that?
No, I'll have to text her and find out.
And they all, because it's usually just the winners.
Yeah.
Well, they said it would. Oh, so just the couple?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it would be more than that.
It might be, though. Who knows? Right, Cher's look at Cher. She's still in pretty good shape, man.
She looks great.
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't done any close-ups of her face.
No,
yeah,
no,
I
no.
Call
there's,
it
there's,
great,
a, there's, but... a, there's a dwarf standing on her back pulling her cheeks.
But look at her bod, man.
Yeah.
She looks great. She looks, and she's wearing clothes like she would have back in the old Sonny and Cher show days.
Except yeah. their support.
So they're having some fun with that. So, interesting. Yeah, she's probably got her Spanx on underneath
there. I got my Spanx on.
And look, Steve, the we're looking at the video footage. Look at the lights on the dance floor. It was the old Sonny and Cher logo. That's pretty cool.
She's wearing an Ankh.
You think she's actually singing?
Yeah, well, what is she lip-syncing?
Isn't it I Got You, Babe?
Is that what she's saying?
Yeah, because
isn't I Got You, Babe to this song, right?
I don't know. They have video footage of Sonny up above her.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I want to be one of those dancers.
Maybe the beat goes on?
You're never going to be one of those.
I want to be one of those dancers. Hey,
look, they're just having so much fun.
Listen. Ladies and gentlemen, Kathy Romano.
I told you, man, I want sometime when Steve and I come out on stage at some event, I want a group of backup dancers.
Like Go-Go.
I want to be one of the backup
like
dancers.
Iron Man and when he comes to the Stark Expo and they're all, you know, they're dancing around him and do that thing. I want that.
All right, so next blood drive. Let's do that when we come out.
Yeah, it's too late to get one together for the Camp Out for Hunger.
Is it, though?
Have a whole routine ready to go.
There's also not enough space, right?
Is anybody listening who happens to have an Iron Man crew of dancers ready to go?
Wait, I
want to
be in the crew. Yeah. I want to be one of the dancers.
Let Kathy, you can be the choreographer.
Teach me the choreography.
Okay, let's.
You can be the Bob Fosse.
There's a big stage. There's not enough space at the camp out stage wise. But Christmas Miracle, there's a huge stage.
The man's got a point.
I have a great point.
The man's got a point. Okay. Let's file that one under Who Gives a Crap.
Another bill is
and not doing it.
File that under Annabelle.
Annabelle.
All right, anyway.
I can't believe he said that.
Yeah.
Oh. He didn't know. It's a story that I have to side with Bill on this one a little bit.
No,
I will explain it. Yeah. I will explain
it later.
Yeah.
He has no clue.
Still a jerk move.
That gentleman had autism. Okay, we're moving on. Bill Cosby is still insisting. Kathy hit this in the news, but I need some stories here. Bill is still insisting on his innocence in his first interview behind bars. The disgraced comedian insists that he is not guilty and that the jurors were imposters and that the trial was a setup.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They were robots. Pre-programmed to find a guilty verdict.
What?
Wow. The 82-year-old granted the interview with Black Press USA, saying that he wouldn't admit wrongdoing, even if it would help him win parole.
I get Black Press USA. They have a great word jumble.
He is serving up up to 10 years for drugging and molesting Andrea Constand in 2004. Acknowledging that his refusal will likely mean that he serves a full sentence, he said, "When I come up for parole, they're going to hear me say that I have no remorse."
So how old is he now?
Stamp your form there, Sonny.
82.
82?
82, yep.
All right. And how many more? So he has, what, another 9 years? How many years left in?
I don't know. That's a good
question. He's serving 3 to 10, Steve.
If he serves the full, he'll be over 90.
Right, but they won't do... They won't
I
do
don't
all
think
10.
So. Yeah. No, I don't think
so. Cosby, by the way, who calls his prison cell his penthouse, shared a typical
Seriously?
Saturday when he lectures inmates with Man Up, a prison reform program. He said, "I go into my penthouse and I lay down and I start to think about how I can relay a message and give it on Saturdays.
And if you're not careful, you might learn something."
Said that they would hear it and feel it, he says.
All right, so. Kathy, aren't we going to have one of the victims in studio?
Yeah, when is that? Maybe next
January?
Week?
Whoa.
No, you're right. It's January. They booked it early because she's actually flying in a day early specifically to do our show.
Oh, wow.
It's Beverly Johnston, something
she's
like that?
She's a model, so she's one of
you
the...
You booked it!
She's one of the... I had to tell, but it... Yes, Beverly's... And she's one of... she was the first African-American supermodel when that classification came out.
Beverly Johnston.
Lovely woman, and she had a story that... She was like third or fourth in with her story of Bill Cosby... And the scenario was exactly the same with all these women.
Wow. Well,
yeah, she's going to be at the Delaware Theater Company. She's the world's first black supermodel and, yes, has the connection to Cosby and is fully talking about it.
All right. Very interesting. Okay.
Well, I won't be listening that morning.
Moving on. Twitter user, a guy named Sean Appalled, has come forward as the mastermind behind the Mark McGrath video that you may have seen or heard about. If not, we'll explain here, as well as a similar cameo breakup video featuring none other than Anthony Scaramucci.
So, the Mooch.
So here's the deal. There was a video that made the rounds. Nick sent it out to us yesterday. It's Mark McGrath of the band Sugar Ray, and it's one of these cameo videos where you can pay him $100 and they'll say happy birthday to somebody or give a little message or plug a charity or whatever it is. And it's Mark McGrath telling the story about this. The message is sent to a guy, and he's saying, hey, this girl, I forgot the name that he had mentioned, doesn't think that this long-distance relationship is going to work out, and essentially breaks up with this guy via video. Yeah, it was Braden and Cheyenne is the girl, supposedly. Turns out it was fake. It was just made up. It was done as a joke. So apparently he had ordered these. He received the cameo orders, and he posted both videos to Twitter on November 16th, over a week before a separate tweet by another user containing the McGrath video went viral. He said that video was a video I paid to have made as a joke. So he may have been joking with somebody else and sent it to them as a joke, but now it's turned into this viral thing that, wow, Mark McGrath just broke up with this guy for this girl.
This guy's also, he's done a few other cameo videos like this as well. So
yeah, that's what I said. He did the Scaramucci, and he also claims he ordered the same cameo message from Sonny Sandoval of the band P.O.D., but that he never shared the video outside of the app because it was, quote, extremely effing awkward.
So Mark was in on the joke?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, supposedly.
In fact, McGrath posted, he said his, I think he said something to the order of, if you want legitimate messages, I will do those on camera.
He said, also doing real ones for the holidays, my brother, is what he wrote. So it turns out that it was fake, but it's easy to buy it. I mean, it looks, you know.
How do I sign up? Yeah. What do you think I can charge him for a cameo video?
This cameo thing is so wild, Preston, because it started off as something I thought, okay, this is a weird thing. Now with sports stars, people are picking up cash doing these dumb things.
It's been going on for a good while now, but also people have been kind of sneaky. They've I forgot who it was that they snuck in some kind of a...
Like a racist message.
An Aryan message of some type.
It was an athlete.
That the person didn't know about. Yeah, and then they had to backtrack on that. And they said, dude, I didn't know. You know, it was code of some sort.
Right.
Yeah.
But friends of mine from college, they get together for Christmas dinner every year. And, like, they rent, you know, like a room at a restaurant. And they use this cameo thing for, you know, an invite. So they sent, like, a text message out to everybody.
They have a celebrity do that?
Yeah. I mean, and so I guess, you know, depending on your ranges of celebrity.
Right.
I'm sure, I don't even want to say who it was, but I'm sure it costs like $15 for this one.
Why do you not want to say who it is?
Not because it's just...
You don't want to insult them.
Yeah, I don't want to
insult
him.
That's what it is. Him.
Okay.
Yes.
But interesting. This one was fake, and everybody fell for it.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Lindsay Lohan is mourning the loss of her former boyfriend, Harry Morton. The 38-year-old founder of the Pink Taco restaurant chain was found dead at his Beverly Hills home. Mm-hmm. People report that Harry's younger brother, Matthew, found him. Yeah, there were no signs of foul play, and an autopsy report is pending.
Did you see, though, and I don't know if this is any connection, but last week he went in for voluntary nose surgery, like maybe, I'm assuming, rhinoplasty or something.
Okay.
And so they brought that up in one of the articles.
Huh.
33-year-old Lindsay dated Harry in 2006. She shared a shot of them together on Instagram, writing, best friends, best life. Friends and family, including her father Michael, mother Dina, shared their condolences. The pair dated all summer during 2006 and were connected at the hip. A source told People that they split because Lindsay was too much drama. And
really?
According to the source, they said at the time, Lindsay did cut down on the parting, but with her, it's all relative. Harry is sober. It wasn't the parting that broke them up. Harry's more low-key and not into the same stuff she's into. By the way, he's the son of Peter Morton, who co-founded the Hard Rock Cafe and Hotels.
Yes.
And it also been linked to Demi Moore, Paris Hilton, Britney Spears, and Jennifer Aniston. So he was a bit of a socialite.
Himself. But, it's very sad.
Yep.
Young guy.
Let's see. Kim Kardashian.
Oh!
Sat down and chatted for a little bit with New York Magazine to discuss how she went from posting sexy bikini pics to molding national policies on prison reform.
She left out the porn movie.
Yeah, right?
And she's still posting sexy bikini pics. Like, she's not evolved from that.
Yeah, let me give you some of the excerpts. So this is her speaking about her style evolution.
I want to hear about this.
She said, another way that I measure my timeline, which is really ridiculous to a lot of people, but it's my reality.
Totes ridiculous.
She says, no, listen, she says, is my glam periods.
Mm. Okay.
Her glam periods is how she measures her timeline. She
says, any of your periods ever been glamorous, Kathy?
Nothing. It's like a murder scene. Nothing's been glamorous.
No. In the beginning of the decade, I was always wearing Louboutin heels. So that was one of her glam one of her glam periods.
The Louboutin periods.
It was always about big, wavy hair, parted down the middle. We were doing everything as sisters at that point. The trio of Courtney, Kim, and Chloe. Always leopard dresses and skin-tight Hervé Ledger, shopping at Intermix. And then I began kind of elevating from that. I didn't know who Corinne Rotfeld was.
Oh, my God. It's so embarrassing.
I know. To admit that. And it took took now husband Kanye, whom she connected with in 2012 and 2013, to really elevate her game, she says. Now, in her business, Kim says that she felt like she made it when her first perfume came out in 2010. She said, I will say about fragrance, that was always my mom's and my number one goal. We had dreamed of fragrance since the day we ever dreamed of anything. Elizabeth Taylor, you've made it, she says.
Okay.
On being a sex symbol, she says it's not so easy. It can be complicated. I definitely see the things that I brought on myself, the biggest being the robbery. Just being flashy and oversharing with every move on social media, but I enjoy my life. Someone said to me the other day, what's it like being you? It's awesome, she says.
Yeah.
Of course it's awesome.
Steve, let me ask you a question, because you've got a pretty keen sense when it comes to this stuff. The Kanye thing.
Yes.
When you saw what he was doing on Sundays, his Sunday services,
yep.
And where we're at now, and him kind of like doing that thing with Joel Osteen, which I don't... I'm not fully aware of what he was doing there.
The televangelist?
Yes.
Yeah.
So everything that they do is so calculated. Did they see a money grab in faith?
I don't think so.
I think this is legit.
Yeah, I think for him it's legit. It depends how people respond to it. That's their, you know, everyone can make the call. I'm taking a wait and see attitude.
Okay,
but if it's who knows?
Could it be? Hey, we're gonna find faith, but if there's a profit to be made,
who knows?
Okay. I think everything here has been so calculated that
it's calculated more with them than it is with him. Sometimes I get the feeling he's the classic loose cannon.
Yeah,
so this could be part of that.
I think he sees himself as a messiah.
Yeah. Okay.
And
yeah.
I think that he is, I think that he's playing into that fantasy.
All right.
Now, he's giving all his praise to Jesus.
Yeah.
But I think eventually he's going to say he's channeling Jesus, and he is Jesus now reincarnated.
He's Jesus.
On earth. He's Jesus.
He is.
Jesus. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I think he's, and he'll make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
He'll make a lot of money. On negotiating her sexiness with Kanye.
Oh, my God.
She says, I don't know if it's the fact that my husband has voiced that sometimes too sexy is just overkill, and he's not comfortable with that. I listen to him and understand him still. At the end of the day, he always gives me the freedom to be and do what I want.
He's actually complained about some of her more risque photos, but the funny thing is, he got interested in her. He's the first to admit. Through the porn tape!
She said, but I have kind of had this awakening myself. I realized I could not even scroll through Instagram in front of my kids without full nudity coming up on my feed pretty much all the time. And I definitely contributed to that, she says.
Well, get on my Instagram. It's a lot of pictures of cats.
Yep. And then on her regret, she says, none. I've never regretted it. I've always felt like I'm so grateful to have all those memories on camera. I guess she's talking about the show. I will look back and think, oh, my God, what was I wearing? Why is my makeup like that?
This is probably, and I'm going to say this, the worst interview that's ever been conducted.
But I can
in the history of all interviews.
But I can sit back and laugh and think that it's funny to see how much I cared and me wanting to be famous so badly. I can laugh at it now. Oh, my God, I was desperate, she says. So there you go. Peek into Kim's world, if you will. I'm sure you're a better person.
That was an incredible peek. We peeled back the curtain and found out that she's so nuanced.
Mm. All right, let's move on to other pipples. Ian McKellen.
Now we're talking.
has entranced audiences for decades, but in his private life, the 80-year-old was a different person. In a new biography by...
Don't tell me he was Khloe Kardashian.
By Gary O'Connor, Ian McKellen, a biography, which drops today. The author delves into McKellen's past, including his time at Cambridge University. He said, Cambridge was great for me. All the many parts I had played there, and I loved for the first time going out in public and displaying my emotions. He says, according to the biography, he said, I enjoy disguising myself as a closeted gay boy, he said. He was, per O'Connor's book, in the closet till 1988 when he shared his homosexuality in a radio broadcast in the UK. So he kind of enjoyed playing that that role of being.
Today we're playing Guess Who's Gay with Ian McKellen.
Yeah.
Hey, Ian, you're the only one in the room. Is it you? Yeah. As a matter of fact, it is.
My boy.
Johnny Depp has one less legal issue to wrangle. He has
good for him.
Yeah, he settled a $350,000 court battle with his former lawyers. According to court docs, Depp was sued by his former lawyers at Buckley LLP for an unpaid bill.
It's a commercial that said Demand Rind, and I did.
What is that?
What?
Demand Rind.
Demand Rand. He's a good lawyer.
Oh,
I got you. Took me a second.
You haven't seen it?
I've seen it, yeah.
It's clear. It says sometimes Demand
Rind. That one I could not figure out.
Yeah, Demand Rind.
Demand Rind. Okay. Demand Rind. Got it.
Depp had hired Buckley to represent him on a $30 million suit against his former entertainment lawyers.
He was licensed in my state.
What?
Oh, my God. Do it again?
Licensed in my state.
Oh, he's licensed in your state.
Exactly. I wish I spoke your language, bro.
I don't speak Depp.
I don't speak. You sound sort of Deppish.
Yeah. I don't speak it. But it was a $30 million suit against his former entertainment lawyers, Bloom Herget. Kendall Jenner's family.
Ah!
You're taking us back?
I should have put those two together.
What the hell? You put a buffer in the middle.
I told you I even needed the Cosby story to fill it out.
Jesus Christ.
You already did it in the news.
Well, hey, kids, let's circle back and look at that dead deer.
Well, I mean, if it was hanging off of a fence or something like that, I'd probably want to circle.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so anyhow, her friends and family want her to get cracking in the motherhood department.
Okay. They know a cracking?
The 24-year-old model hit up the gram to share a shot of herself playing with her sister Kim's kids, Psalm and Saint. By the way, I just realized they're named after my band, the kid is.
Oh, no.
I know. Her pal... Faya Kadra.
Faya con Dios.
The first name is spelled F-A-I. Fai, maybe?
Fai.
All right, so her pal Faya Kadra joined her in one pick, and she captioned the post, everyone in favor of Faya and I starting a family, say I. Her sisters Kylie and Kim were in, as were Momager Chris, Faya, Gigi Hadid, Hailey Bieber, and several others.
Okay, wait, is Faya a boy or a girl?
I don't know.
I mean, imagine being so rich and successful that, like, the decision to have a kid is just that. Like, you don't have to have somebody that you're in a relationship with. Like,
no, yeah, you do not.
Yeah, I think
you
it's
do
time.
Not.
Yeah,
in fact, you're accessorizing.
In fact, you can just offer up some genetic material and have somebody else do it for you if you want to.
Whatever you want.
Rumors have swirled that she and Fi are more than friends, but she's denied the rumor. So I don't know what's going on with Fi.
Fi's a dude, then, right?
Yeah, Fi's a dude.
It's got to be.
So let's see. How about some industry stuff as far as movings and sales and things like that? Lionsgate Stars will roll out its Stars Play app in 20 new countries after its launch in the U.S., U.K., France, Germany, Mexico, and Brazil. So Stars has a streaming app that's going
to
be
okay.
out.
Is Stars related to Lionsgate?
It says Lionsgate Stars, so Lionsgate must own Stars.
Probably does. Yeah, I have the Stars channel on my my service.
Yeah.
They have their own original programming, and they run a lot of movies. They also run a lot of crime documentaries, murder documentaries, which makes that interesting.
Stars has experienced great success with the Stars app domestically, remaining ahead of the streaming curve with more than 5.6 million OTT customers to date. Anybody know what OTT
means? Yeah, you know me.
Yeah.
I have no idea what OTT means.
Use it in a sentence there, Preston, again.
More than 5.6 million OTT customers to date. And that number continues to climb.
Don't know.
Over the top.
Oh, okay.
What the hell? What?
Wait.
What?
Over the top customers? What does that mean?
Yeah. Like
like they're crazy. Like they're Harry Mandel.
Arm wrestling customers is what they are.
Is that the name of the Stallone movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a switch.
Putting the hat.
Yeah.
Flip it around. I said expanding to our direct-to-consumer product into the global arena will, with the launch of the Stars Play app, give subscribers seamless entry to our platform of premium content, blah, blah, blah.
Mostly right. People who have cut the cord. So,
yeah.
So people that don't have cable, they go around.
Okay, got
so
it.
They call those OTTs?
Apparently.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, cord cutters, because now you're making everything more expensive again.
Cord cutters.
It's true.
And by the way, did anybody, speaking of cord cutting and that program, did you see the trailer, Steve, yet for that Al Pacino show that's coming out on Amazon Prime?
I did not.
Hunters?
No. The last thing I saw him hawking was The Irishman.
Okay.
Saw him in the movie Jack and Jill over the weekend.
Yes. The Dunkachino commercial.
Yeah, what is it? Is it a drama? A comedy?
No.
Cooking show?
He
had two eggs.
What?
That's good. That is good. Those are good waffles.
He plays kind of like sounds like a Jewish guy, but it also seems like he's...
I sound like a Jewish guy?
He's recruiting, like, killers is what
really?
He's doing.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He's
I love the eggs, though. I told you I want them fried over here!
You imagine?
You call that syrup that I just put on my waffles? Where my children play!
All right. One last thing. eBay has sold StubHub to Viagogo for $4.05 billion in cash.
I didn't realize eBay owned StubHub.
Neither did I. The uniting of the two massive ticket resale providers makes perfect sense. Viagogo's founder and CEO, Eric Baker, said in a statement, it's long been my wish to unite the two companies. Buyers will have a wider choice of tickets and sellers will have a wider network of buyers. Bringing these two companies together creates a win-win for fans.
Does it?
More choice. It says better pricing.
I don't think so. They just bought their own competition.
For a second. Are you kidding me? Event tickets are ridiculous.
Yes, they are.
They're just ridiculous. It's now, it seems like just the elite can go to really good concerts. You know what I mean?
And get seats that are worth a damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That's ridiculous. But anyhow,
still have never bought or sold anything on eBay in my entire life.
Oh, really?
No kidding. Yeah, neither have I.
I just have never gotten around to it.
Do you know who uses it and loves it and is sort of a wheeler dealer? Dr. Mike.
No kidding.
He knows his way around eBay like nobody's business.
I buy stuff regularly, but I never bid on anything.
Okay.
You don't have to bid. I just buy now.
Okay.
I've bought, sold, bid, and been scammed on eBay.
No kidding.
Scammed?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, what'd you get scammed out of?
It was actually something that I was selling. So it was a scammer trying to buy from me.
It was a Sibian.
A used Sibian? Or?
Oh, my God.
Not a used.
But what a pain.
How much was it? How much?
$250. Once
for a Sibian?
Once I was scammed, or this person tapped into me and my account, they all started coming. Like it was like they could.
Once you ended up on their radar, they came after you.
Yeah. Yep.
That's why I don't trust it. Yeah. That's why with Amazon, if I buy something third party, Amazon's umbrella is over it.
Yeah.
So I feel protected, you know?
Yeah, if you remember, not remember because it happens all the time, but when eBay first came out, people were trying to sell things that like, this toast looks like Jesus or,
not with the guy.
So I took a dozen eggs and I put some sideburns and Elvis glasses on them. Yeah, and I was like, these eggs look like Elvis. And I didn't get one bid on
not
this.
Not one bid?
No.
Did anybody?
Terrible.
How much work did you put into that?
Oh, not much.
Did anybody have similar products up besides the toast?
There was like news stories. Like people were bidding $1,000 on a piece of toast that just so happened to, that was shaped like Abraham Lincoln.
Those are real.
Yeah, I know.
Dr. Mike's on the line.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because he wants to chime in on the eBay thing. So good morning, Dr. Mike Sirigliano.
I love you.
Yes, you
I
do.
Told you.
Yes, you do.
It has changed my life. Let me tell you why. Say you had something when you were 8 and they don't make it anymore, which is the worst thing my wife ever hears me say. They don't make it anymore. You can find it. And you can get it, and there's all kinds of tricks. So if you're bidding on something, you wait until about 10 seconds before it's over, and then you put your bid in. That way no one can counter bid.
Oh, it's people like you that I lose out on.
Yeah, well, I've had it happen.
He plays it so that, you know, those the large animatronic horror figures that...
we have one.
Right, so he
gave us one.
He gets those on eBay, Mike, right? And you hunt them down and bid on them, and you get them from all far-flung places around the globe.
Oh, I've gotten stuff from Brazil. I mean, now, when it's a foreign country, you have to be a little careful. I must say, in 10 years, I only had one problem. Bought a model airplane, and it was full of, like, curtain rods. There was nothing in it. That's the only time. Oh. And the guy gave me a refund. He was very nice, and usually they're good people. But, you know, eBay has protections in it. They have... feedback. So if you have a bad outcome or there's a problem, you leave bad feedback, and it makes them realize and other people realize you have to be careful with that seller.
Yeah, when you're buying, that's what I do. When I'm buying something, I will look at their rating, and if they have...
Oh, it means everything on eBay. Yeah.
Yeah, if it has a high rating, then you know you typically are okay to purchase from that person. Yeah.
But what I love about it is that instead of going to auctions and things, if I had time, I would. But you can scan the planet when you go on your computer and look for, some knickknack that your mother had when you were 7. And I guarantee you will find it.
Are you watching anything right now, Dr. Mike?
I am. I'm watching a Jenny, JN4.
Sex doll?
Which is an old plane, they're very rare now, that's what I'm doing.
He keeps his eye out. He's a master. If you ever need anything purchased, just contact Dr. Mike.
Right.
He should be a broker. There are actual people whose job it is to secure things on eBay for other people.
Well, I can only tell you, it really seriously has changed my life.
I know for a fact.
All right, Dr. Mike.
He speaks. We love you.
Love you, man. Yeah, I know. And you can buy, you know, cheap stuff like I told you guys. And eventually I'll show you the pictures of my rock and roll bathroom. I wanted a trash can, but I wanted to use a drum shell. But I wasn't going to take like a real nice actual drum
and screw it up.
So I found one for $10, an old beat up drum shell that was going to be thrown away.
Cool. Yeah.
Paid $10 for it. And I got a trash can. That's what I probably would have paid for a trash can anyway.
Right.
So but you can find all kinds of interesting things on eBay. Okay, we need to do the clips. We're in the entertainment news for crying.
Oh my God, we just did an eBay break.
In A Christmas Wish, Faith's wish for the perfect man makes her rethink who really is the perfect match for her. And in this clip, Tyler Hilton talks about how his co-star, Hilary Burton, has influenced him as an upcoming actor. Here we go.
I had hardly acted. I was in Walk the Line for a second as Elvis, and then I went right to One Tree Hill, and I didn't know what I was doing, and she was like, come here, I'll show you how to go. This is a mark, these are the lights, you know. And then after that, we did Extant together, which was a show on CBS I did with her and her husband, and then we did like 3 Christmas movies.
Shut the f*** up!
Christmas Wish premieres on Lifetime Thanksgiving Day, by the way, so we're doing these Lifetime clips.
I'll be watching that.
Yeah, and by the way, Steve, there's one on Disney Plus now that actually has a couple of decent-sized actors in it.
Actually, yeah, so there's... there's an Anna Kendrick, Shirley MacLaine movie on... I think it's on Netflix? No, it's on... it's on Disney Plus?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I think it's Anna Kendrick, but I can't remember...
But it's not like a Hallmark. Those are actual talented people that we know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But, I mean, don't you like that? Don't you, you know?
Well, the charm of the Hallmark movies is that you don't know the people. Okay. You don't need to care that much.
Okay.
You just want to see the holiday decorations, and their sameness is what makes them so wonderful.
I think if I weren't married, I'd have to marry Anna Kendrick.
She's pretty great, right?
She's about perfect. Yeah, yeah. All right, let's do the next clip. The Irishman tells the story of a hitman and his possible role in the disappearance of his lifelong friend. Here's Stephanie Kurtzuba speaks on acting alongside Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci.
As soon as I sort of got over my own mythology of them in my head, I was able to just be there. And what I realized very quickly is they're just actors. They do what I do. I mean, really well, but they do what I do.
Shut the f*** up!
The Irishman will be available to stream tomorrow.
Woo! Tomorrow.
on Netflix. A lot of people waiting for that to come out.
Three hours plus.
Yeah.
Still at 96% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's the Entertainment Report. We need to take a break. We got some guests on the show this morning. Our good friend Debbie Calton from WMGK is going to be stopping by today. Debbie is retiring. Next week will be her final show. So we want to talk to Debbie on our show before she wraps it up. So she's a sweetheart.
She's awesome.
Yep, we're looking forward to having her on. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment, so make sure you stay close, all right?
What's new?
Glad you asked.
The Black Keys. Greta Van Fleet. Five Finger Death Punch.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Later on this morning, we'll have a chance to talk to Pierre and see how things were at the airport yesterday. He was there to welcome in people that might be, you know, coming in for the holidays or that are leaving to go see their families. He just wanted to wish them, you know, fond travels and so on.
I have to imagine tomorrow is going to be pretty light for everything. Whoever's getting out on the road, you usually get out on the road on Wednesday, right? If you're traveling locally, that's just Thursday morning.
Google Maps says the busiest day to travel will be tomorrow. And the busiest time that day is around 3 to 4 p.m. So that's what it's going to be a little bit nuts. They suggest leaving earlier than that on that day, or leaving earlier than that day, so like leaving today, or waiting till around 6 a.m. But Thanksgiving morning to depart, or 6 a.m. Thanksgiving morning to depart. As far as getting home, after you're
Sunday,
done,
right?
Is the busiest day is on Sunday, at 3 p.m. So your best bet to travel is Friday at 4 a.m.
I do it, man. Honestly, I want to die. It's been a long time since I've been caught in that kind of holiday traffic where you just want to kill yourself right where you are. And I don't look, I've tried to avoid it with every bit of my being, and I have successfully for the past couple of years.
Yeah, I've done a pretty good job of it. Tomorrow I am entering the fray.
So are you?
Yeah, I'm driving to Southern Virginia tomorrow, and my brother moved.
What time?
Well, my son fortunately has a half day of school tomorrow, so I'm picking him up from school, then meeting my parents, and then we're all driving down together. We're gonna split the drive. But Steve, we are going 2 hours, 2.5 hours out of our way to avoid the Beltway in D.C. We're going west on Pennsylvania Turnpike and then heading south from there.
What time are you leaving again?
Okay. Hopefully around noon. So I think if we leave around, I think and hope and pray, if we leave around noon, we might be all right and avoid some of it.
So my brother-in-law does a lot of traveling from upstate New York down to Virginia. He's a contractor, works at places all the way along the route. He has never left later than like 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, he gets out and just gets on the road. Now, still, you will encounter crap.
Yeah.
But he can do it because he's never regretted leaving that early.
Right. We have to drive on Route 81, which cuts down southwest through Virginia. And it's a lot of trucks do that route.
Yeah.
So there will be traffic at some point. We got to deal with it. But, you know, whatever. It's what you do to go see family.
When we used to go up to New York, Preston, to go to for Thanksgiving or to go for the holidays, there were many a time where I'd be going over like the Commodore Barry Bridge and I just wanted to cut the wheel right and just take it right off the side because
it
would take six, 7 hours to get up to New York. And that's why here my wife goes and travels down to her sister in Virginia. I stay here, take care of the pets. And right before the camp out for hunger, it becomes this wonderful break as opposed to unrelenting screaming.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there are some people that do have to do the traveling thing. I'm talking about more than just, you know, driving cross town or you know, to visit somebody else in a different county. If you do happen to be flying, though.
Oh, boy.
Which I would just hate it. I would hate to have to go to the airport this time of year, especially tomorrow. Fortunately, I don't have to do that. But there was a list that came out a few days ago from the official Department of Homeland Security website.
Yeah.
What food can I bring with me while I travel?
Okay. Now, I assume that they relax all the rules for travel
of
on Thanksgiving.
Course, it's a holiday.
You can bring full containers of mashed potatoes.
Right, right.
You know, some people make ambrosia with bullets.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure they let that through.
Right, right.
Oh, your bullet ambrosia.
Aunt Meg made her bullet ambrosia. Don't heat it up.
But you would be surprised at some of the things on this list. So I'll give you a couple of the highlights. I won't go through the whole thing because it's lengthy. It's
Ooh, very barbed lengthy. Wire kebabs.
Alcoholic beverages in your carry-on bags? Yes. If it's less than 3.4 ounces. I had no idea
but you
that
just,
was the
you
case.
Can't open them on the flight.
No, but, well, you know.
Less than 3 ounces?
That's what you go to the bathroom how for. You get, how so you head to the lavatory.
Wait, you know what,
how do you get hammered on that?
I know somebody who saves her airplane bottles or will buy the airplane bottles and then bring them onto the plane, and then it doesn't look so awkward because it could look like she bought it on the plane, and then she just drinks the whole time she's on the plane.
It's a good call.
Right. On your carry-on luggage, 3 ounces.
Yeah, so little
baby bottles.
It's the same thing for shampoo or any liquid that you're bringing
I hate that. I check it all.
But I think you can.
I check it all.
Then it would stand to reason you could carry more than one, right?
Yeah.
Can you?
You could carry as many as you want as long as they're the three ounces.
I love it.
Wait. No. So I just want to be clear on this. Yeah. So if you have 100 3-ounce bottles of booze, that's fine?
I mean, yeah, technically, yes. They just can only be in a 3-ounce bottle.
That's crazy.
Like, I don't have a limit on how many bottles of shampoo I can bring
with
me.
Alcoholic beverages with 24% alcohol or less are not subject to limitations in check bags. Many bottles of alcohol and carry-on must be able to comfortably fit into a single quart-sized bag.
Now, listen, going through TSA, they might question you if you had 100 bottles on you.
Yeah, but listen, I mean,
it's just 100 bottles in 3-ounce increments of rum.
All right, well, 100 bottles is obviously is excessive, but
70.
But I mean, listen, I don't drink on airplanes or at all. But how much is an airplane drink?
All right, well, an airplane drink is going to cost you 10, 12 bucks, something like that.
Okay.
Which, by the way, an airplane bottle, Steve, so a regular shot is 2 ounces.
Okay.
So a shot, technically, a cocktail probably has 2 ounces of booze in it, maybe a little bit more.
A little more.
Three some odd ounces, that's a nice amount. You can take a couple of drinks with you.
Well, yeah. So then how much can you save as a result? Like, if you're going to
That's why this girl does it.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm not paying for it. Yep. But
so you're telling me she brings 100 bottles.
No, she doesn't bring But it's illegal. She's not allowed to open them. What you bring on the plane, you're not allowed to open.
A couple of people chiming in saying, yeah, it has to be able to fit into a 1-quart bag. Okay. All of the bottles that you take with you as a carry-on have to fit into a quart-sized bag.
Is there anything that you would do?
So you could fit, I'm sorry, Casey. Yeah, yeah. So a quart-sized bag's about this, but you could probably fit six bottles or something like that. Six or seven bottles.
Yeah.
So how many quart-sized bags can you bring?
That's a good, now that
100.
We need to know.
100.
I just brought on 31,000 bottles of alcohol.
That's all I have in my carry-on.
Going to Corey on the phones. Hey, Corey, good morning.
Morning.
What's up, Corey? You wanted to chime in on the booze thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I, you know, every time I fly on a plane, I bring at least a dozen mixed alcohol bottles, the little airplanes, and they never once have they said a thing.
And you will crack them open and drink them during the flight?
Yeah, so what I do is I bring a big, like a Yeti, you know, stainless cup.
Yeah.
In the terminal, I have somebody fill it with ice at like one of the restaurants, and then get a soda, and then I
mix it up.
I'm drinking as I walk on the plane, and then
Corey, you'll drink a dozen during a flight.
I mean, I have pretty high tolerance.
You might have a problem.
I'm not the pilot. I'm not the pilot. I can drink.
Dear Lord.
High in the plane.
Just binge drinking on the plane.
Wait a second.
A lot of people binge.
All right, clear this up for me, please. Right. Can you walk onto a flight with an open thing of alcohol?
No.
They won't let you do that.
No. That's why he puts it in the Yeti so they don't know what he's drinking.
Right. All right, so if you're in an airport.
All right. Thank you, Corey. Appreciate it.
I had a hard time talking last day.
Airport.
If you're at the airport burr and you have a drink, do you have to finish that burr before you get on the plane?
Yes.
I don't think you can walk on with an open alcohol container.
They won't let you.
Yeah, I mean, because you can walk on with an open Diet Coke bottle.
Marissa
you know?
And I tried when we went to London. We didn't really try, but the guy came over and was like, "You have to hurry up. You have to finish those.
Okay.
Go, go, slam that.
So we slammed our drinks.
Chop, 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 chop.
Yep. All right, so there's a lot of different things that you can. And so booze is just the tip of the iceberg here.
31,000 little bottles.
Let's see. There's a lot of things you can bring, and I won't go through the specifics, but breast milk, yes, with specific instructions, you can bring them in your carry-on.
It has to be in your breasts?
No, because the amount has caused issues. When it's been over 3 ounces, they've made people throw away in the past breast milk. And then a few people raised issue with that, and they said they make some exceptions. But you got to check on that.
So I recently traveled with somebody who had to travel with her breast pump, and then on the way home was bringing breast milk with her. And they looked, saw it was breast milk, and let her through. And it was more than the 3 ounces. And she said she flies a lot. And she said typically they'll look at it, they'll know what it is, they let her go. But she said a few times she's had to throw it away. They asked her to throw it away.
Canned foods, yes, but with special instructions. These are on carry-ons. In your check bags, you can pretty much take what you want.
Yeah.
But it says how they are not prohibited on the prohibited item list, but because of how they appear on X-ray, security concerns or impact of the 3-1-1 rules for liquids, gels, and aerosols, it could require additional screening that might result in the item not being allowed through the checkpoint.
I see.
Suggest you pack this item in your checked bag, ship it to your destination, or leave it at home.
I always used to get in trouble because I would bring the Hormel bomb ham with me, and it looks like a bomb.
You can bring cereal. You can bring creamy cheese, but that has to be less than 3.5.
You can't get cereal and your canned vegetables where you're going? Like, why do you need to pack
them? Who knows why? Cheese, solid cheese, yes.
Listen, Kathy, do they have cereal there in Pennsylvania?
Anything that's liquid.
By the way, I'm going to sound like I have a lot of little bottles on me. Don't be distracted.
By the way, anything that's liquid has to be less than 3.4 ounces, pretty much. Like liquid chocolate, it says here. and then there's coffee, and you can bring in thermos, but it has to be empty. Cooked meat, yes, you can bring it with you as long as there's no liquid.
This is in your luggage. However, if you walk on, and I've done this countless times, Preston, when you're actually walking on the flight, when you've cleared your check-in and security and TSA, you can then go on to buy a bottle of water and bring that onto the flight.
Yeah,
you're fine.
Yeah. This is just going through TSA.
Going through TSA.
Just going through security.
Right.
Otherwise, once you get in there in any of the shops and restaurants, whatever they sell, you can bring that on the plane. Except for open alcohol, I would assume.
There's a new, and they just opened one up in the Philadelphia airport, Build-A-Gun. It's a new thing. Yeah, it's right next to the Build-A-Bear.
They own that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a subsidiary.
I didn't know they had those in the airport now. Let's see. Creamy dips and spreads.
That's allowed or not allowed?
Fresh eggs, they're allowed, but 3.4 ounces.
You have to be wearing them.
Creamy dips and spreads.
Fresh eggs are okay.
Honestly, what are you bringing?
Seriously.
I have 2.5 ounces of onion dip.
Yeah,
in my luggage.
I mean, there are fresh eggs.
There are common sense rules, and some of these things I understand.
Where's my egg?
But Jesus.
But you know what?
Steve, it's your emotional support egg.
My support egg. It hatched. I should call you Consuelo.
But you know what? They've seen it. That's why it's made it to this list.
Yeah,
they've seen
it
happen, and there has to be a rule.
You're right.
When it's so dumb out there that people, you have to have an illustration of a machete that you can't bring on a flight.
Yeah.
It's true.
And there's
or the old style bomb, the round bomb with the fuse on it.
Yeah. Or that. Yeah.
You know, there's a great Instagram account. I forget what it is, but it's it's from the, I think it might be the TSA.
Passenger shaming? Is that what it is?
No, I know that one. No, I think it's the TSA account, and they will post things that people have tried to go on a plane with. Like, you know, a giant knife, and they'll just post the picture and say, not allowed.
Yeah, right. Apparently, Wile E. Coyote tried to get on one time with one of those round bombs.
With the big fuse, and it was lit.
Yeah, it was lit.
And it wasn't fire. It was just lines going out.
Said TNT on the side of it. Yeah.
You had a lot of stuff from the Acme Corporation.
Now, listen, these are no-nos. An empty magazine, a knife, and C4.
Shut up.
On the TSA's Instagram.
Oddly enough, though, C3 and C5 are fine.
Totally cool. Happy holidays.
Those are dessert toppings.
It's actually a pretty good follow, some of the stuff that they find.
Fresh meat and seafood, yes, with special instructions.
Fresh seafood.
You can bring them on. Yep.
Preston, your support lobster.
Live lobster is on this list.
Are you kidding me?
Live lobster, it says carry-on bags, check with the airline. A live lobster is allowed through security and must be transported in a clear plastic spill-proof container. A TSA officer will visually inspect your lobster at the checkpoint.
Excuse me, can I have a pair of headphones for my lobster?
We recommend that you contact your airline to determine your airline's policy on travel with your lobster before arriving at the airport. This is straight from the Department of Homeland Security, folks.
So, okay, all right, just to clarify, you can get on a flight with a living lobster?
Depends on the airline.
Okay.
Yep.
And the lobster has to be in a clear bag.
A clear plastic spill-proof container.
Okay.
A TSA officer will visually inspect your lobster at the checkpoint, but they recommend you contact your airline because the airline might not allow you to travel.
Will they make the lobster do a sobriety test?
With your lobster. I don't know.
Walk the line?
Maybe. Let's see. Carry-on bags? Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Fresh meat and seafood? Yes, but with special instructions. Frozen food? You need special instructions to carry that on. Gel ice packs, you need special instructions about that. So these are things you want to check on.
Have you ever had something yanked out of a bag while going through TSA?
Yeah, one time I a water bottle that I forgot.
Yeah.
I just completely forgot that I couldn't bring that on. They had to throw it away, but nothing of importance. Oh, yeah, no, I'm sorry. My freaking crew hair gel one time. Aww. That stuff is $18.
It's expensive.
Yeah. $18.
Hey,
bucks.
It could be worse. You could be Pierre, who went to, Rodeo Drive.
Yeah, yeah.
And went and bought, Jose Bear top of the line shampoo and conditioner products.
And lotions.
And lotions. Had, a whole bag full of them and had to throw them out because they forgot you couldn't bring them on the flight.
And with my hair gel, I was on my way to my destination, which meant I was going to have to buy more when I got there because I can't go a day without my product, and then I was going to have to make sure that I found a travel container so I could bring it back home, or now I guess I could have thrown it in my checked bag if I had one that particular time, and I don't remember. Man, I was pissed about that.
You couldn't put it in your lobster bag?
I didn't.
They do give you the option, though.
It's his food.
To turn around, go back down, and recheck your items.
Yeah, but
who wants to do that?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have time, and I wasn't, making a fuss out of it. I was like, I was an idiot. I'm like, oh, really?
Hey, what they need to do in that point, and I don't want to forget, why at that TSA point there, can't they allow you to just say, F it, I'm going to check them right here?
Yeah, they should have an option where you can.
Well, because they would need all the separate airlines there, because the airline has to run tag.
That's
and
true.
Make sure that it gets on the right plane and all that. And it would be logistically too tough.
But also, at the Eagle Stadium, they have lockers. Or at least they did. I don't know if they do it all the time.
You mean you have to leave the airport, drive over to the lane?
Yeah. It's not that far, Steve. No.
That's ridiculous.
No, but if they have
my lobster will die in that thing.
But if they had a locker set up where
you could leave your stuff and pick it up when you got back.
Although, how much would they charge for an $18 bottle of Crew? And what makes it actually cost effective?
Right.
I have an interesting travel hack, and this was sort of happened by accident. But I put a bottle of water in the freezer, and I just wanted to have it cold, right? And it froze, and I was allowed to take that through. You can take frozen bottles through. And I had forgotten about it, and then I put it in my bag, and I fully expected to have to throw it out when I got through the TSA.
So they specifically told you that?
It's okay. Frozen water is fine. Ice is okay to take through. It's weird.
I understand, because what they were initially with this fluid thing was looking for explosive material.
Right, yep. Right.
And if it can be frozen, then I assume it can't be a combustive explosive material.
And if you're carrying or traveling with like a Nalgene or a Yeti or something like that, if you freeze the water and then take it with you as a carry-on, it's okay.
But you could beat somebody over the head with your frozen bottle.
Sure you could.
Absolutely.
Why are you going to do that when you could just stick your lobster on?
That's true.
Get him! Stick him!
You actually hold
Use your pincers!
Holding your lobster up with the pincers.
He's got you!
You beat somebody up with your shoes,
too. Dude, Steve, I now see a guy with two lobsters in holsters.
Yeah.
Pulls them out and spins them around.
Yeah.
Nobody move! This is a hijacking. Oh, my God.
This is Kodo and Bobo.
Oh, my God. Wow. All right, but yeah, live lobsters. With permission, you can do that. Pies and cakes, they're fine. Pizza.
So a full pie in a box. Yeah. No problem.
You can bring a pizza?
Yep. Carry on in your carry-on
bag. Lorenzo's pizza?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Has to fit
There's
overhead.
A special line for that, Steve, to go through security. Salad dressings and salsas and sauces.
Ooh, salsas? Very salsas and sauces.
It's got to be under 3.5 ounces.
Frozen bottle. May I pet your lobster?
Bill Weston can bring soup on board if it's less than 3.5 ounces.
That's we'll like be flying at 30,000 feet. I want everyone to pour their soup out into the toilet, please.
How much? That's just a tiny, it's a sip of soup.
He would have a heart attack if he saw soup on a plane.
This thing could go down,
and
you could spill that all over the place.
That's when Bill opens up his overcoat, and he's got lobsters all over his chest, strapped in.
Nobody move! All right, so these are things you can and can't take.
It is interesting that in various... So the frozen liquid, for example.
Yeah.
What if the... Oh, I don't know. Hang on.
I have somebody who used to work for TSA. I've got Nick on the line. Hi, Nick. You're there. Good morning. You're here, I should say. Are you there?
What up, bitches?
Hey, Nick. How you doing, man? All right. So what did you want to tell us about working with the TSA?
Well, if you have a regular-sized suitcase and you have fragile on it, do not bring it with you.
Why?
Well,
that means throw it around?
Honest to God, they have contractors that aren't, you're supposed to be vested when you work for the TSA, but down in the cargo area where you put everything through the machine, there was a suitcase that had fragile tape all over it.
Okay.
And it must have weighed about 40 pounds or whatever. And the guy that was running the machine picked it up and threw it as high as he could in the air.
So you're saying that they can roughhouse with your luggage is what they're saying. But I mean,
on average, it
should be protocol, though, right? If something is marked fragile, to treat it with care, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. But sometimes you just get a dick who's working there.
Right.
So, which is, dude, what's your problem?
There's a lot of dicks. There's a lot of dicks.
And a lot of people don't forget that fact, Nick, that there is a TSA element to the luggage that you check. Because they're checking the bags as well, and they put them through scanners once you put them through. It's not like it's carte blanche, right? You've had your luggage. You'll open up your luggage when you get to a destination and see a note in there that they went through the bag.
Yeah. One time with my Casey and I took a golf vacation, and I opened up my golf bag, and there was a note inside, and it said, "We went through your bag.
We have your lobster.
We have your live lobster.
Yeah, they went through my bag when I was just at Zion and Bryce, and took my magnets, man. I wanted my magnets.
Ew, why did they take your magnets?
I think they forgot to put them back in. You know, I think it was just a mistake.
Going, ooh, look at this. It's a Zion magnet. Oh, Estelle's coming on at 5. She'll want to see this.
Wait a minute. So where was it, just in your checked bags?
It was in my checked bags, yeah. Yeah.
That's weak.
I know, but it was Zion, it was Bryce, and it was Grand Canyon.
You picked the one TSA agent who's a state park federal park fan.
Wow.
But you know, one time I had gone through TSA and my sunglasses had fallen out of my bag, my carry-on.
Yeah.
And I didn't notice it until I was, you know, at my destination. I was like, oh no. And they were expensive. Like, you know, $110-$15 sunglasses, and I had just gotten them.
Yeah.
When I got back into Philadelphia, I went down to the little office, and they had it. They have lost and found. I was so happy that they, you know, that somebody just take off with them.
That's wonderful, but that runs contrary to most of the stories you hear.
Yeah, well, the last guy, when, you know, some a-hole just sees a fragile sticker on a bag.
I think that's just a guy. The guy is just probably a dick to begin with.
It has to be.
Please, but you also, yourself, if something's incredibly fragile, don't do it that way. Ship it.
Yeah.
Insure it that way.
Yeah. Agreed. I don't know what, you know, something's wrong in somebody's life if they're
Mona Lisa in my luggage.
If it bothers them that someone had the audacity to put fragile on their item that they're having shipped.
They're bigger issues.
Hang on a second. Let me go to, speaking of the frozen liquid thing, Lisa's going to mention something about that. Hi, Lisa. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Lisa. What's your story?
So I was at the Charleston airport back in May, flying home into Newark, and I had about 30-plus ounces of breast milk with me, not frozen. And I told them I didn't want it to be put through the scanner because somebody had mentioned that's not good for the breast milk. So they had to do a full-on pat-down of me and inspect my stuff just to make sure. But they told me that if it was frozen, that I would have been perfectly fine.
Huh. I mean, are you going to be comfortable with frozen breasts on a flight?
No. I think they were in a container. I think the milk was in a container.
I'm sorry.
So, All right, so, yeah, they probably had to check you for any residue of explosive material. I mean, that's why they don't want you taking the liquids on board.
Yeah.
But
and
frozen.
I had no idea.
And I don't believe putting it through a machine will cause any problems with your breast milk. I've never heard of that.
There are all sorts of...
Some people are paranoid about that.
Theories floating around about, you know, being irradiated.
Right. Somebody mentioned it, and I just said, I asked them not to, and they just did a full pat down, and everything was fine. But next time I know...
To freeze it. Does mother's milk lose any of its...
When it's
efficacy
frozen?
When it's frozen?
No, people freeze it all the time.
Really?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Tons of it in the freezer.
Do they coat it in chocolate?
Thank you, Lisa.
I pump and save.
Hey, Steve, nipple pops.
Nipple pops. Can I have another nipple pop, Mommy? Sure, it's right next to your lobster.
Steve, my cousin had so much breast milk. She produced so much breast milk that it was more than her son needed. She had an extra freezer filled with it. Now, it also only lasts a certain amount of time in the freezer, right. So she would donate it to the hospitals for, you know, when they need extra breast milk. That's how much she was able to produce.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, anyhow, for those of you who are traveling via airplane over the next couple of days, those are some of the things you can and can't bring, according to the Department of Homeland Security, through the through security.
Right.
So, interesting. So, check your lobsters or check with your local, check with your airline.
Freeze your lobsters. Mm. No, your lobster can go on live.
Yeah.
You have to freeze your breasts.
Yeah, of course. What he said. So anyhow, that's just a tip of the iceberg as far as the Thanksgiving stuff to cover before the holidays. So
we got to get it in.
A few other things we got to get in. We do need to take a break, though. And speaking of food and stuff like that, which is the next subject probably concerning Thanksgiving, I don't know. Our friends at Ridley House are here, and they have brought some goodies with them. They brought some food for us and some gift cards for you. Of a $50 gift card. Take call number 8-215-263-WMMR. Keep in mind, they're hosting one of the many Miller Lite pre-parties leading up to the Preston and Steve Christmas Miracle.
Wow.
It's not even the Camp Out for Hunger yet, and we're already promoting that we have these events coming up where you can win tickets to the Christmas Miracle, which, of course, you know, is our biggest prize blowout of the year. So come by the Ridley House on Thursday, December 12th. It's a little ways away, but mark your calendar from 9 to 11 for the Miller Lite specials and your chance to win a pair of tickets to this year's Christmas Miracle broadcast, which will be at Parks Casino in the new Excite Center. So call number 8-215-263-WMMR. We're going to set you up with that gift card. We're going to take a break, come back in a second. Got some really interesting Bizarre File stories that I will share with you when we return.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger begins Monday, December 2nd at Xfinity Live inside the Wells Fargo Center complex. The business challenge is such a big part of Camp Out. And props to Subaru of America for leading the way and challenging other companies to get involved and make a difference. Heritage Business Systems, now a Xerox-owned company, is encouraging any size business, large or small, to donate. One business will be selected at random to receive a 36-month lease on a Xerox full-color copy print and scan system. The Preston and Steve live broadcast from your place of business is still up for grabs for the largest donation. Go to WMMR.com/campout for a list of especially needed food items and all business challenge details.
So I mentioned earlier, Ridley House is here. They're a new American restaurant and bar located in Ridley, PA, made up of three unique rooms and a seasonal outdoor beer garden. And
cool.
I have gift cards to give away, a $50 gift card, and I'll take caller number 12 at 215-263-WMMR. This morning for us, they brought in Italian pork egg rolls, cheesesteak pot stickers, chicken cheesesteaks, and some salad as well. So we have Patrick and Jonah Rose and Peter who are here this morning.
And anybody who's from that area and is not necessarily familiar with where the Ridley House is, it's in the old Barnabys on McDade Boulevard.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. It's Joan Rose. I said Jonah Rose. Joan Rose, Patrick, and Peter. So thank you, guys, and we'll continue doing the giveaways through the course of the morning. I have stories to share. Let's do that.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right. This morning, the B-File brought to you by Hers. Small has finally gotten its big break. Introducing Hers Mini Cheese Puffs. Cheesy, mini, and more munchable than ever. Hers forever good. We might have some of those at the Camp Out for Hunger. We'll see about that. So this is a, I have some wild stories for you guys today. We'll start with this one. A baby girl named Itzmara was born through a cesarean delivery, and 24 hours later, doctors performed a C-section on her, too.
Because
she had absorbed her twin in the womb.
So the baby basically gave birth.
Kinda, sorta. When the mother, Monica Vega of Colombia, had an ultrasound at 7 months pregnant, doctors discovered she had two umbilical cords inside her. One connected baby Itzmara to Vega, but the other connected Itzmara to a mass that was her parasitic twin. When doctors noticed this, they diagnosed Itzmara with what's called fetus in fetu, a rare condition where a malformed fetus is found in the body of its twin.
So it's not a viable fetus.
No, the doctor said they needed to deliver Itzmara right away through a C-section so they could then operate on the baby. They were worried that if they didn't remove the parasitic twin inside Itzmara, the mass could grow and injure the baby's organs. So after delivering Itzmara via C-section, the doctors performed a C-section on her, too, to remove the mass, which had no heart or brain. She was in good health following the surgery. Fetus in fetu is very rare, with only one case occurring in about every 500,000 births.
They should have let it come to full term, and then it could have been the next contestant on The Bachelorette.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. A 13-year-old girl is among five teenagers arrested over a mass brawl involving youths armed with machetes at a movie theater where families were watching Frozen 2.
Wow, you saw it last night. Did you bring your machete?
I didn't take a machete to Frozen 2, but they did hear
it. Was it machete night?
The disorder broke out late on Saturday afternoon. This is in England, by the way, sparking a mass evacuation of the complex. Police said up to 100 teenagers were involved in the major disorder where people were armed with machetes.
Isn't the whole concept to let it go?
Yeah. Dozens of officers were sent to the complex. Two machetes were seized during the trouble, which saw pockets of fighting and seven police officers, left with minor injuries as they dealt with the crowds in and around the cinema. Armed police were deployed to the scene, drawing tasers to restore order following a very hostile response.
Did they mention what set it off?
They don't really know. They said it bears the high marks of an organized fight between rival groups.
And you pick Frozen?
I guess. I don't know. Well, the new song is Into the Unknown.
There you go.
There had never been a machete fight at a Frozen.
If there's ever been a song written for a machete fight, it's that one.
Five teenagers have been arrested, and a 13-year-old girl and another girl and boy age 14 and 19-year-old man were held in suspicion of assaulting police officers. Wow. Managers closed the complex for the rest of the evening.
Oh, really? They didn't finish out the movie?
No, police issued a dispersal order, yeah. A woman with a history of attacks on people wearing fur has been charged with attempted murder for stabbing a woman she believed was wearing the material at a church outside of Cleveland. Meredith Lowell is being held on a $1 million bond after the attack on Wednesday afternoon.
Was the woman, in fact, wearing a fur?
They didn't indicate.
Or was she just hairy?
The victim had brought children. She was babysitting to the church for choir practice, and Lowell stabbed her twice in the arm and once in the abdomen with a kitchen knife.
See, then you lose the argument when you start stabbing someone.
A man wrestled Lowell to the floor and held her until officers arrived. The victim remained hospital on Thursday. Her condition was unclear. It's not clear whether the victim was wearing real fur or not. Lowell was arrested a year ago. She's got a track record.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Suspicion of attacking someone she believed was wearing fur at a Whole Foods. A police report said Lowell punched and then tried to cut a woman wearing a jacket with fake fur on its hood with a serrated blade of a Swiss Army knife. The jacket was gashed, but the woman was not cut. Lowell was indicted in January on account of felonious assault. She pleaded not guilty because reason of insanity last month. The case is pending. And in March 2012, she was indicted in federal court in Cleveland after authorities said she posted on Facebook she wanted to hire a hitman to kill someone wearing fur. And Lowell wrote that she would be willing to pay between $830 and $850. An undercover FBI agent contacted her, asked that a person be killed with a gun or a knife at a Cleveland Heights library, and that she planned to be there when the murder was carried out. So she was serious about it.
So she thinks that fur is murder, but doesn't realize that murder is murder.
Yeah, Lowell told the agent she wanted to set up an animal rights militia and specified that a victim at the library should be at least 12 years old and at least 4 feet tall. She was arrested. Those charges were dropped when it was determined that she could not be rehabilitated to competency. So she's kind of got a screw loose.
It seems that way.
Mm-hmm, yep. This is strange. Tattoos done at a high school. That's what a mother of a 15-year-old student said happened. Shartisha Lee's daughter came home with a small cross on her wrist, and now she wants to know how this happened during class. Lee's daughter told her mother that another student gave her and others tattoos using a method called stick and poke. And she said it was done during study hall at the high school while the teacher was in the room.
So the tattoos are going on while the teacher is right in the room.
Yep. And now Lee is worried for her daughter's health. Someone at the health department said that her daughter will have to get tested for hepatitis, A, B, C, A, B's, and C, syphilis, and HIV.
Wow.
However, they have to wait a month for doctors to detect any diseases. While they wait, Lee's daughter and other students involved have been suspended for 3 days.
That's like how they do prison tattoos.
Yep, exactly. All right, and there you go. That is what I have for you in the bizarre file at this point. We are going to have on the program later this morning authors David Bornecht and also Josh Piven. They're the authors of The Worst Case Scenario, which they're doing the experience at the Franklin Institute.
Yes.
Which is going now through April 19th.
A basic realization of the books. It's fascinating stuff.
And they are going to be hosting a Quizzo at Science After Hours on December 3rd. And so they're going to stop in this morning. And after that, around 9:30, we're going to have a radio legend in Philadelphia. Debbie Calton's going to be here this morning from our sister station, WMGK. She's retiring next week, man. She's been on the air for 36 years. She has been not only at the same radio station, MGK, for 26 years. She's been in the same day part doing middays for 26 years.
I am conflicted about this. I'm glad for her, but it's we love having her here.
We do. Absolutely. So we'll talk to Debbie on our show a little bit later on. Let's take a break. Come back in just a moment with that stuff and more. Make sure you stay with us.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Yeah, with the camp out, a few things to mention as far as what's being planned. And you can check WMMR.com, PrestonSteve.com for a list of events that are coming up, like the City 6 Challenge is going to be on Tuesday, right? The Papa Shot event is going to be happening. Are you going to mention anything about that or no?
No, we're good. Okay. I mean, well, listen, we're just going to mention that it's going to be awesome. It's awesome every single year.
All right, and we got Flyers players stopping by on Wednesday in the afternoon. We've got a load of guests set up, and we're going to do the world's largest gender reveal party. We're going to try to kick that off on Monday morning.
We're starting big.
Yeah. And our knockout tournament, we're going to play, shoot hoops at the Sixers court after the broadcast on Monday. Monday night is comedy night at Victory Beer Hall. You will want to be there. We got some big-name comedians that are going to be on board. We can't say who they are yet, but
there are contractual things we have to honor.
We have two guys that are straight-up headliners, you know, that you would pay to see them at Helium and Punchline.
Yep. So it's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And we'll try to, we only have one more day to promote it. We have today and tomorrow, and that's it. And then we're doing it.
Well, we've been through this dance many times before, and you always worry, and there's always hand wringing. I feel very confident. I think there's so much in play here. We are just, the only difference really is we are about 25, 30, maybe 40 yards from where the tent normally is.
Yeah.
And it's right in the same parking lot. Mm-hmm. Everything has shifted just a bit, but we have access to the same stuff. It's going to be great. In a couple of ways, it might be easier making your donations this year.
Yeah, we'll see how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, so also Monday after the show, probably after the knockout tournament. And by the way, there's great prizes that could be won at the knockout tournament, like autographed merch.
I didn't know that.
Tickets. Yeah, and stuff
sweet.
Like that. Yeah, and in fact...
You did it for fun last year.
Yeah, so the Sixers tickets are going to be for a future game. But it's also like a VIP experience as well. So like I think food and drink that's involved. But after that, Coach Brett Brown's going to come by the camp out, and he's also going to be joined by Nick.
I think Alan Vigneault, the Flyers head coach, is going to be there at the same time. So I think we're going to get the two head coaches under the tent at the same time on Monday afternoon, which is pretty badass.
So obviously we got to have Pierre handle that whole thing.
Well,
sports
on Wednesday afternoon, and Pierre will be broadcasting. If all goes according to plan, I believe six Flyers players are going to come over, and that'll be during Pierre's show. But it'll be six guys from the team. And I'm sure Pierre's in-depth questions will be noted.
And I think Monday morning is Crobot playing live.
Crobot is playing live.
That we've been playing here on the air is going to be doing. They're going to play a couple songs, song or two. Who knows what'll happen?
There's a list that I have. I took down. You know, every day. I know everyone has these similar lists about, and it's just one right after another of things that are going on. But again, if you can't make it, we encourage you. If you really want to see what we're talking about, go during the morning for the show. But obviously, there's stuff going on around the clock. Yeah. And we're there. We're in the tent till about 9:30. And then obviously, I have to go in. We are in an RV, a five-wheeler, actually, right in the parking lot. Press and I will go in and go to sleep. We maybe make love, depending on how much energy we have.
Right.
You guys tired all right.
It wipes us out. I mean, maybe a handy, and that's it.
Even that's work for one person, you know?
Yeah. I know. Yeah. It is, honestly. Yeah. Especially when you've been signing stuff all day. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
yep. On a serious note, I wanted to add that on Tuesday after the show, Mike Scott from the 76ers is going to come by. And he has really endeared himself into this city.
Yeah.
So he's going to come by at some point after the show on Tuesday afternoon.
And awesome. You know what we haven't even mentioned is Casey's going to be swimming Monday morning.
Isn't that crazy?
I kid you not.
There will be a lap pool.
A heated pool. They're called like it's a swim spa, if you will.
They're awesome.
It's an endless pool.
Yeah, an endless pool. It runs a current. And I've been challenged to swim at the highest speed.
So you get
speed.
In, we put the open wire in the pool.
Yep.
And then you start swimming.
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking forward to this?
I am. Here's the deal. I haven't... I'm not that fast a swimmer anymore.
I'm a strong swimmer.
There's a difference between a strong swimmer and a fast swimmer.
One's probably stronger.
You know, that's okay. We'll see what happens.
You know, with these things, any of these things,
yeah.
Like from the gender reveal to everything, if it works, it's great. And if it doesn't work, it's great.
Yep. Like
in fact, people expect our stuff to not work.
If it works, it's great. If it doesn't, Steve will still make it great. So don't worry.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So and honestly, the best scenario, an ambulance leaves with one of the contestants in the back.
That'd be great.
And did we say? Calendar release parties Wednesday night.
No. I didn't even mention
that. Okay, yeah. People are texting in, so we've shifted that this year. It used to be around the corner. Now it's going to be at Xfinity Live.
Yep.
And that'll be Wednesday night in the main building.
Yes, and to that point, calendars will be available.
Right.
You want to get them signed by all the people, and you want to engage in the event that we used to conduct off premises. That exact same event will be conducted on premises, and hopefully, because we're doing it this way, we get more donations of food. And it would get really tight with calendars towards the end of the week in years past. And now we're really hoping to ensure that everyone who donates gets their calendar.
And speaking of the calendar, the girls are all going to be in the studio tomorrow morning, and we're going to reveal who's on the cover and each girl and their month.
Cool. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, you too.
I thought it'll be a chill show tomorrow.
No.
We'll have Marissa's award-winning cranberry sauce.
Well, speaking of that, Thanksgiving is still on the brain, obviously, so any Thanksgiving topics we need to get to, we're going to do now. Speaking of us being together all next week, apparently it takes less than 4 hours before Americans need a break from their extended family during the holidays.
So wait, is that us? We'll need a break from each other after 4 hours?
We have a monetary investment in staying together.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you what. Most families don't.
Yeah, right.
They're
right.
Not contractually obliged to be with each other.
You know, I may recuse myself from this conversation because I don't have this issue.
I know
with my family. It's crazy.
You have a very loving, everybody gets along, wonderful Norman Rockwell family.
Which is bizarre because we definitely
have... Of course, Norman Rockwell played Mr. Roper on Three's Company.
It might not be you that needs the break.
Oh,
it might
be
them.
Oh, am I wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey. You ever think that?
Yeah, when is Casey leaving?
I can't. It's at my house.
He's gone. He's gone. We can stop pretending we're happy.
No, I mean, it's crazy because we all have differing opinions on things, you know, socially, politically.
But
like
you
all sort of
you
stuff,
all but love each other. You're a super tight family. I envy that.
I hate you for that.
I know. You know what? In a way, my wife's my extended family are my in-laws. Not my in-laws. They're both dead. If they show up, it's going to be an issue.
Yeah, that
but,
would be.
But if
it would ruin the festivities.
My brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws and all that. So that extended family, my wife's family, because they're closer. You know, years ago, and I was talking to, you know, my aunt, one of my aunts, Aunt Mary, passed away 2 days ago. I just found out about it.
Oh, bummer.
And so, but everyone is so spread out. I really hadn't seen her in a long time. And, right. And so I see Claire, my wife's family, much more. And everyone does, for the most part, get together at these events. So I don't encounter this. But I've been at family gatherings with other families where you see the matches lit. And pressed about 4 hours sounds right.
Yeah, a survey of 2,000 Americans who were traveling to visit family for the holidays found respondents can spend an average of 3 hours and 54 minutes with their family before needing a moment to themselves. three quarters will hit a point where they need time away from the crowd, and results reveal that respondents can be creative in their ways of escaping. One in four of those surveyed have hidden in a relative's house to take a moment alone, while 37% have gone so far as to make an excuse and leave the house altogether.
Let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. With the new access to medicinal marijuana, will this help the situation, do you think?
It can't hurt.
it's got to make it better. In fact, maybe...
Better than booze, I would
People
think.
Can stuff the bird with some pot.
You know, my friend has family in a state that is recreationally legal. And they
and what's
were
that
there,
like?
He said it was weird. Because
but they must have ate a lot of turkey.
Well, I mean, because everything, it was smoking, it was edibles, you know, it was the vinegar. Said that, you know, there were people that... He just never, ever, ever would have even suspected imbibing in that stuff.
That's interesting.
Doing that. And
it becomes much more normal. I mean, if you're in Colorado, for example, or parts of, other parts of the country where it's become normalized, it's alien a bit still to us, mm-hmm. but not to them.
Was this at a party or a family gathering?
It was a family gathering. Okay. So, I mean, it was like, you know, his father-in-law, you know, who I know.
Dad always cuts the coke.
But this guy is as straight-laced as it gets. Yeah. And I was like, really? Him?
Oh, yes. And I like hookers, too.
Not even drinking alcohol?
No. Okay. He definitely likes his craft beers and stuff like that. But...
Because, you know what, Case?
Yeah.
It's legal.
Yeah.
And you can do that if you want to. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. that's the way I look at it. It's not quite so scandalous as it once was since it's now legal.
Years ago, turkey was illegal.
Yeah.
Was
look
it?
At that now. No. Everybody has it. So the survey examined the delicate balance between wanting to spend time with family but also needing a bit of space. 95% of respondents believe it's important to spend the holidays with family, and 2 in 5 of those planning to stay with family admit that it can be a stressful experience. Now, the top reasons that respondents stay with family are because it allows them to spend quality time together. That's 60% say that. They enjoy it, 53% said, and because it's cheaper and more convenient. Despite that, almost one-third of respondents believe that they would enjoy the holiday season more if their family wasn't all under the same roof.
Uh-huh.
And the same number say that their family would actually get along better if they had some space. So it's a lot of it happens when you have to stay there. You know what I mean?
So to that point, over the course of years, we've had situations where you drop in for a little bit, make a visit, move on. That I think that tends to happen more around Christmas or the Hanukkah or whatever. Those kind of holidays. Thanksgiving is more a sit-down, multi-hour hang with the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the issues come from.
But even before we started hosting, it was a, we're going to hang here for a little bit, but then we have to go over there for a little bit. And we were trying to do...
You'd just say over there.
I'm just going to go over there, guys.
I'm going to go over there now.
It was Christmas was with my family, and Thanksgiving was with my wife's family. And then my family as well.
So much.
Yeah.
Traveling that much on any holiday is exhausting.
I mean, it's Jersey and Pennsylvania. And it was all just to pick Pollyanna at my parents' house. So,
which I would love to do, Pollyanna. I've said that to my family for years, ever since you told me that you do it with all the adults in your family. Chris Kringle's cool too. They do not. They're like, Chris Kringle. We want to buy for everybody.
So Chris Kringle, we do a Pollyanna and a Chris Kringle, right?
I've always done group sex.
It is not. No,
I didn't want to do that with my family at all.
We've always called it.
And Edna smells like liver.
We had always called it Secret Santa, and we just did one version of that, and that was it.
So, all right. So Pollyanna is just one gift on one day when we have like a Pollyanna dinner after Christmas. Now, Kris Kringle is something that you do from the time you pick, and so it's essentially a Secret Santa.
Oh, this.
And it started.
You surprised
them. Yeah, and it's well, it started when we were children, right? It was like you were like their little angel for a month, right? So from a month. Yeah, so from Thanksgiving until Christmas, without them knowing.
Yeah. I'm mouthing my approval.
Did you say F that?
Steve and I are both going F and that.
You know what's so crazy? I'm surprised that you saying F that because you.
I love that, but I think what's happening is that you a month of so you are what you're.
You don't have to do it every day, and so
I try to be pleasant in general anyway and do wonderful little things. That's why everyone adores me.
But when you were kids, it was something as simple as. I'm going to, you know, let's say I have my brother for Kris Kringle.
Yeah.
I'm going to make his bed for him, you know, unbeknownst to him. Or I'm going to, you know, do something nice for him around the house, unbeknownst to him. Or he's going to go to bed and there's going to be like a candy bar sitting on his pillow and blah, blah, blah.
It's nice.
It's cute. I like it.
It's a really cute idea.
It's a lot of work.
So it's
screw that.
It's go more ahead. Work now, even though we Ebenezer. All live close to each other. It's more work now because now you're trying to do little things. For people that
they make their bed, right?
Well, you can make their bed, so you're doing other little things.
What the F
are
you doing
them.
In my bedroom? I'm making your bed.
So people that don't live under the same roof, yeah, it's got to be difficult.
It's a lot harder, but because it's been this tradition, we love it, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of our Secret Santa, or Pollyanna, or whatever you want to call it, can we draw that today since we're all here together?
Well, sure. Do we have to do it again this year?
don't like doing it?
I love it.
You could tell by
Ebenezer.
Yeah.
Turn that around on you.
2 seconds ago, she's like, I've been trying to get my family to do Pollyanna for years.
Because I have no choice. I have to buy for them. I can't show up to Christmas. I'm starting
to see some ideas.
You're my financial investment, remember?
As I'm going and shopping for my family, I'm starting to say, oh, somebody, you know, so-and-so might like that. I'd like to go ahead and buy these things now while it's actually...
I have so many great
Top
ideas.
Of mine,
I think I already told Nick Murphy what I wanted if he got me, didn't I? I did.
Okay. I have lists, and you have names. You know,
I had so many ideas for you, Steve, and they were all Hallmark store ideas. And then you got the shirt, and I was like, oh man, I was gonna get that for Steve.
Steve, I legit almost bought you a tactical shovel yesterday. On it showed up. Did you see it on Instagram?
Yeah. You can chop down trees.
Yeah.
I know. No.
I want that. Too.
Do you know what I just ordered? I just ordered the thing that looks like a claw. That if you're
I think I've seen it.
You can throw it down; it'll close on anything, and it'll pick it up.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know what you use it for.
Well, I could have used it.
The video looks cool.
I lost a zip disk.
Wait, Chuck just came in. What?
I almost bought that shovel last week.
It's tactical.
So I saw it on Instagram, and then I went to Amazon. I'm like, oh, it's only $30. It was $29.99. I'm like, I should get this for Steve, even if I don't get it for Pollyanna.
Guys, look up it's a like a tactical claw on a rope, and you can, like, they show you can pick up like a dime if you're.
Does it say the word?
I know what you're talking about.
Does it got the word tactical in it?
It has tactical in it.
Oh, God. There's a whole tactical section within Instagram, right?
Like I bought tactical tampons.
Okay.
Oh.
You can use them as bear traps.
Yeah, bear traps. Yeah. Okay. The string will catch the bear's foot.
Last year, didn't Casey give to everybody?
Well, so.
You can't do that.
But I'm super generous, Kathy. I'm like nicer than everybody.
It's rude.
It is rude.
It is rude.
No, no. What happened was I had somebody for Pollyanna. I can't remember who I had. But then it was also
Chuck's. You had Nick Murphy. Didn't you give him a pillow?
Oh, I gave. Yeah. And then, but it was also Chuck D'Amico's birthday. So I gave him something. And then
you found something you wanted to give Steve, and then it just escalated from there, and you bought for everybody.
But it was like a
bottle
of
wine. What I would
do,
Kathy,
for you guys.
Because you say it's rude, I'd get back at him by giving us all $1,000 gifts.
You want me to get back at him that way?
I mean, if you really want to get back at everybody.
Give us all $1,000 gifts.
No, because what you're going to do is turn it into everybody is buying for everybody. Because now I'm not going to be the only person that doesn't give to everybody.
Yeah, you got to stick to the rules.
Listen,
man.
I'm just trying to get 6 presents from you guys.
I know you are.
Seven, eight presents.
Steve, is this the thing?
That's it.
That's it.
Okay. Yeah. The multifunctional stainless steel gravity hook, something or the other, folding grappling hook, climbing claw.
It's a grappling hook. Now, the one I saw on Instagram said tactical.
Okay.
So I knew it had to be better.
It's only $14?
No, this one's too small. The other one that I saw, you could pick up larger stuff.
Okay. Anyway, can I come back to this?
Oh, yeah.
I don't even remember what it was.
We were back. The 4 hours is when the average family descends into madness.
I want to draw names for polyanalysis.
All right.
Okay. All right. So anyway, the average respondent is staying with family for 3.5 days this holiday season, by the way. But the sleeping arrangements might be one reason that they're not staying longer. When hosting a family, nearly 40% say finding sleeping arrangements is one of the most stressful parts of preparing for guests. And that could be because there's not enough space for everybody.
Oh, there's always space when I go stay with relatives because the hotel has many rooms. Many rooms.
I could not agree more.
There's no, I can't stand that. Is anyone downstairs? I simply want to go get a quarter glass of water. Yeah. Can I go do that?
See, it's... Yeah. Like Casey's family, it's not like that. My parents have plenty of room. They bought, you know, a new house. They were supposed to be downsizing. They have like 6 bedrooms. So when people stay over, it's like a party until the wee hours. And then whoever wants to get up, you make coffee, you do what you want.
Will they bring a tray of food and coffee and biscotti to your room
at
11 o'clock at night?
No, my mom won't do that.
There we go.
Respondents report an average of 2 people will end up sleeping on something other than a bed this holiday season. So that can be a bit of a problem.
I don't mind sleeping on the couch. I really don't.
We actually have legit a guest room situation now, and they're actually good beds. And when relatives, a certain number come in, absolutely that's fine if they want to do it. However, you know, I'm going to go visit my dad soon, and they have a guest room. But I stay at whether they say it or not, I feel as if I'm an imposition on people. And it's no big deal. And I like having, you know, I like having that scenario better.
Yeah.
Also, it gives you at a certain point in the evening, you can, you know, I don't want to be a drag on someone's life. Even, and people are generous. I get it. I understand
it. You're doing it for your own good, and I understand that. Like, you don't want to feel uncomfortable.
I don't want to.
Yeah.
We're going down to my brother's, and he has 2 young sons. I'm so excited to see them. I can't wait to spend Thanksgiving with them, and my son's going to be there as well. But it's a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
Guess what? We're getting hotel rooms.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not just... because I don't want to impose on them. I want to be able to sleep in a little bit on Friday morning, you know, and my own comfort at that point. You know, like you want a couple of days off that you're enjoying.
Everyone is happier. We have a big family gathering after. So we wait for the whole family to get together. It's the weekend after that mad rush.
Right.
And everyone comes in. I put them up in hotel rooms so that they have, because I can't put 50 people up in.
And
you know,
they'll
the
be happier, and you'll be happier.
Right.
Yeah.
And it works out, and there's no knifing.
By the way, that when staying with family, the top concerns were found to be lack of privacy, family getting on respondents' nerves, and drama between family members.
Kath, do you have any drama? Because it's...
Yes, of course.
Like,
usually it doesn't happen
on
the holiday, and usually who's ever causing the drama isn't there. So, but no, I mean, we're pretty much, I think our families are similar, Case. We don't really, you know, my mom always has the open door. There's a lot of people there. It's usually fun, not like, oh, I have to go there.
Who's the main source of drama in your family?
Oh, right now?
Just so we can hit
right
the ground running
on.
Right
now, it's a few cousins.
Okay. Yeah, it's usually cousins, right? Yeah, that's what's going
my
on.
My family, again, on my dad, on my side, my family is so spread out that we don't. You know, I actually would love to see them all for at least, you know, one. I mean, that's why you have to travel half, you know, 3/4 of the way across the country to see. My one brother, Gene, is in Virginia, so that I can swing. But he goes over to his in-laws and, hey, I'm coming with you.
Yeah.
And this is my brother.
Does your entire family live in Delaware County, Case?
Oh, yeah.
All of them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
We all live within like a 5 to 10 minute radius of each other.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that by design?
Not necessarily. I think, you know, my sister for a little bit.
Moved to Rutledge?
No. She's, I think, the only one who, after college, lived outside of Delaware County, and she lived in East Norton for a little bit, but she was working.
East Norton. Well, she knew the language.
Monco.
Yeah.
It's Monco. Is it East Norton or West Norton?
There's both.
Well, there's both, yeah.
I think it's East.
If there's a West, there's got to be an East.
But
did you talk like this? Then it was West.
But she had worked in the North Penn School District, so she needed to be a little bit closer.
Okay.
But now she lives in Media. Yeah. And I love the fact that we're all cool. And I don't, it's not like I see them all the time. It's just nice to know that they're there.
Okay. It is. They're that classic Currier and Ives, you know, family gathering thing where the family isn't trying to kill each other. Such a wonderful thing. But it's hard to achieve.
My wife and I will take time occasionally to talk about how happy we are to not be living near our family. It's wonderful.
There's a benefit to that, too. Oh, on this Thanksgiving, as with many things, you know, that me being sort of able to just chill is a good thing. Yeah. Especially leading up, and people are so kind, and they you know, they invite me over and stuff like that. It's all good because, for me, getting that lull before the camp out is essential.
Yeah.
Because for that whole week, we are meeting and greeting and shaking and doing the whole thing, and I look forward to that. But you need some downtime. And also, if you go to these things and you're around kids, a lot of times can get you sick.
Yeah.
And if you get sick prior to that, we're dead men.
Well, so we'll have a house full on Thanksgiving Day, and then that's it. And then the rest of the weekend will be nice and chill for us.
Are you going shopping on Friday?
No, we're going to go down the shore.
What's the worst fight you ever got into at the house, Kathy? You ever have anybody storm out?
On a holiday?
Yeah.
Not that I can remember. No, because it's usually, like I said, it's usually like a party. It's not like like you guys are thinking, like everyone's sitting around talking about, and somebody brings up politics. You know,
right.
Ours is, there's always a lot of people, and so it's kind of more like a party than it is a sit-down dinner.
The biggest drama we ever had was we were waiting on my aunt and uncle to come over and with their kids and everything, and we waited and waited and waited, and we're just like, screw this. We're eating now.
Yeah.
How long did they make you wait?
I don't remember. It was like an hour. And wait a minute. Is this the whole clip or just the last part? Because I wanted to play.
No, it's wet cakes for nutches.
That was me. Thanksgiving? Yeah, well.
Wet cakes for nutches.
But
Annabelle is here.
But it was big drama because they were pissed that we started before them, but they were late. And, you know, and that can be a source of issues.
Yeah,
but
the most drama that we ever had, it wasn't even stemmed from an argument. It was that my mom never turned the oven on, so we didn't have turkey.
Oh, no.
And she put the turkey in there?
Yeah, the turkey was in there.
She didn't know it wasn't warm when she put it.
You couldn't? Wouldn't you smell the turkey cooking?
Press, my mom is infamous for, like, she doesn't even know what preheat is. That just means the oven's on. So,
by the way.
No, she probably just threw it in and never turned it on.
Someone posted on Twitter, I saw it pop up a couple times, so would today be the day you take the turkey out of the freezer?
Right. It depends on how big it is.
If it's frozen solid, yeah, you want it out soon.
Right.
Because you can always put it in the fridge and let it sit once it's thawed. But I have had the occasion where we didn't thaw it out enough. And we're like, oh, man, now what do you do? You
know, right. We're picking up Tom today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You get them fresh?
Fresh. Okay. Yeah, every year.
We do you club one. It yourself?
Yeah. Is there any other way?
I go to Negan Farms. They give you a baseball bat with barbed wire around it.
Mm. Is yours named Annabelle?
My turkey's name is Annabelle.
Some people call her Annabelle.
I love it.
Negan Farms.
By the way, this survey was done, an online survey asking people what they're most thankful for.
Yeah.
If you had the choice of one thing to be thankful for, if you had to choose one, would it be family, health, friends, something else, or I don't know?
I don't know.
Family.
Family.
Yeah, family, right?
Yeah. Wouldn't it be wild if Gary Lauer has the most perfect family thing? You know,
we just don't know.
Let's go around the table. What is everyone thankful for? Yeah.
You want to take bets on that?
But it'd be so anomalous,
it
right?
Be,
like
yeah.
The family there.
I want to be just like Uncle Gary.
62% say family, 18% say health, and 7% say friends. And then everybody else is something else or they don't know.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Friend.
And then this other poll was done. How many Thanksgiving celebrations you plan to attend this year, including family Thanksgivings, Friendsgivings, workplace Thanksgivings, etc.?
So Friendsgiving was this weekend past, right?
For most people, yeah.
I saw a lot of pictures posted of Friendsgiving.
A lot of people were home from college this past weekend, too.
Right.
So it gave people an excuse to get back together.
I remember before I was married years ago, this weekend when people would return from school and everything, it was...
Oh, great, right?
It was awesome.
Well, tomorrow night, I remember the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Like, that was
a biggest
huge,
party night of the year.
Well, it was a huge night to go out because that was it. Everybody was home from college, so you got to see your high school friends.
Yeah. And then usually the reunions are this weekend, right? Usually they have it like, you know.
Oh, 15, 20-year reunions.
I think they got moved. I think they used to be more popular now, but because it's so busy with Thanksgiving, it's more often in like middle December or even January.
Because my buddies, it was this past weekend.
Okay.
On Saturday, which I thought was weird. I'm like,
yeah,
well,
ours was in October.
I think it used to be more convenient to have it now to you know, around Thanksgiving, but people get so bogged down with family obligations.
It's too much.
Yeah, that it's too much, and they'll just have reunions at separate times.
Well, and I think as you get older, you're then, you know, you may have moved away, and so you're traveling to visit your family, maybe not necessarily in the town where your reunion is.
According to the poll, 50% said that they will be attending one Thanksgiving celebration, 19% two, 18% none. Which I found interesting.
I had that for a number of years where, you know, I was working on Thanksgiving. And then that way it had its own charm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never felt that I was missing out. It just became something different that I enjoyed, you know, and that I would... I've always made it work somehow.
Pierre will be working. Pancake will. You know, that's for me, that's Thanksgiving tradition to tune into those guys. And
with special guest Annabelle.
Annabelle.
New edition.
All right. Well, anyhow, however you decide to celebrate, hopefully you enjoy it, make the best of it, and keep these little tips in mind about getting some space if you do feel a little, you know, confined.
Put 911 on the speed dial,
your family members and so on. So,
but, yeah.
Anyhow. All right, we should take a break and come back in a moment. We have some guests that we're going to have on the program before the show is up, so make sure you stay with us. And... our friends from Ridley House are feeding us this morning. We love it. And they are the number one place in Delco to watch your favorite sport. And while you're there, you can enjoy options from their rustic menu, handcrafted cocktails, robust selection of craft beers. We'll take callers 15 and 16 and give you $50 gift cards. 215-263-WMMR. They're located at 2107 McDade Boulevard in Ridley. Website's RidleyHousePA.com. We'll be right back.
Hey, gang, starting Monday, December 2nd, we are camping out and broadcasting our show from Xfinity Live in the Wells Fargo Center complex.
It's Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger, benefiting Phil Abundance and fueled in part by Energy Transfer.
Now, join us for special guests each morning inside the warm confines of the Bimbo Bakeries USA broadcast tent.
With free hot coffee from Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show.
Join us on site and drop off your non-perishable food donations at the General Building Contractors Association Demolish Hunger donation area.
Camp Out would not be possible without the generosity of you, our great friends and listeners, and our partners.
Comcast Spectacor and Philadelphia Flyers, White Horse RV Center, Precision Solutions, Acme Markets, Keene Compressed Gas, Ashley Home Stores, and Indre Recording and Production. Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger from 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
So the worst case scenario survival handbook came out so long ago, and we had these guys in. I can't remember if we had one or both these guys in our studio when the first one came out. Was it both?
I think it was both. It was 1999. If I remember, we were probably media,
yeah,
right?
We were in media.
Yeah, yep, we were here.
And I think we were 18 years old.
Yeah, you were 18.
So I was 16.
David. We're going to welcome David Borgnick and Josh Piven to the show.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And you guys are still milking that thing. Look at this.
Aren't we all?
You know what, though? It was a hit out of the gate,
totally.
I remember, and it took off. And I just doing the research, the amount of titles that you have now, it's an empire. It's basically an empire. Now, you all do other things. Josh, you do screenwriting and, I mean, plays and speeches and stuff. David, you do other books and things of that nature. But this is the core of the empire you've built.
It's the foundation.
We refer to the alliance, not
the alliance,
empire.
The empire.
How many books now?
Oh, man.
Under that title.
Like 24 different books.
Wow.
A bunch for kids, junior editions. We did
cards. TV shows were based on it.
Right.
I think one was on TBS. The other was Discovery Channel.
Correct. Yep. Correct.
Bear Grylls, I think, culled a lot from you guys, right?
Yeah.
We taught him everything he knows.
Everything.
But I remember the initial draw of that book was the outlandishness of some of the survivals that you guys had, the scenarios that you had. And the ones that stick out in my mind specifically were a falling elevator.
Yep.
And that was in the first book, right?
Yeah.
Was a bear attack in the first one?
Bear attack, quicksand, sharks.
Yeah, all this stuff where you were like, legitimately, how in the hell would one survive this type of thing? So it was a novelty. It was a novel idea at the time. And then I assume there's just scenario after scenario after scenario that you can get to.
I wonder, because you've put all this together over the years, and this is sort of in the embryonic stages of the internet. So I wonder how often you were pilfered for content, you know, online. Do you often see your stuff pop up?
Oh, yeah, all the time. But, you know, at this point, it's just kind of flattery. And you know, we actually, strangely, created the best-selling survival manual of all time.
It's crazy.
Just two guys in Philly messing around who loved action movies. So anybody can take this and spread it around as long as they use our name.
So that was the step-off point. You were watching some action movie and you thought, how would you survive that? How would you do that? And then you were off and running?
Sort of. I mean, I was in book publishing. I was trying to think of book ideas. I loved pop culture.
Right.
Read an article about a guy who had to land a plane without the pilot, and something clicked. I was like, oh, man, there are real-world answers to these situations.
Right.
And let's go find them.
How many scenarios came directly from Indiana Jones movies?
Snakes, for sure.
Okay. Giant rolling boulder?
Giant rolling boulders.
Okay.
Poisonous darts.
Okay. Because I would think there's plenty of material.
Yeah, Indiana Jones, Die Hard, James Bond movies, you know, catch the guy without the parachute.
Right.
James Bond movies.
So one of the main reasons the guys are here is there's this experience at the Franklin Institute, which is going on now until April. Nice long run for that, by the way,
awesome.
Which is really cool. And then you guys are doing an event on December 3rd, correct?
Yeah, yes. There's a Science After Hours event. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, at the Franklin. So we're going to have worst case scenario Quizzo.
So that
should be fun. And it's also a Home Alone themed evening. So there should be some fun Home Alone things. You know, Joe Pesci may come by.
No, Joe Pesci.
Just kidding.
Probably not.
But you guys are big.
You never know.
Yeah,
you never know.
You can't say definitively.
You guys are big pop culture guys. So all your references are you're both funny. So that should be a great night. With all, and the one that I thought that catches my eye is the worst case scenario paranormal. So as you do the research for this stuff, are you simply culling from the internet, or are you actually talking to experts? Are you talking to parapsychologists? All of it.
All of the above.
Yeah.
We go to primary sources as much as we possibly can, interview people, find experts.
The aliens were especially helpful for that.
The aliens helped you.
Yeah.
A few rectal probes and you had all the information you needed.
Exactly. No, I don't think that there's anything wrong with this. I think as a child, I had a pretty active imagination. I was a little bit scarred by the movie Red Dawn. So as a result of watching that, I looked for an escape plan every single place I went. I mean, whether I was at church, at school, at a mall, or whatever, I was like, okay, if the Russians come, what am I going to do? And so I had sort of been living this scenario quite a bit. I know these people.
He's going to try out some of his tactics.
Yeah. All right.
Is this a Patrick Swayze question? Right. Because I don't have an answer.
How would you defend yourself against the ghost of Patrick Swayze?
Pottery.
I've been wanting to bring this up on the air because I had heard there are these, a couple of different people have told me that they have, as their children are, or I'm sorry, 14 years old, have actually already started teaching them to drive, right? And I'm like, well, that is just silly. The risk versus reward of that is just, you know,
and
not,
it's illegal.
It's illegal.
Well,
and
in
it's,
the Midwest,
and it's not,
I think you can drive.
And
when
it's
you're
not
really
worth
young.
It. So I had asked them, why are you doing this? And the only acceptable reason I would have accepted would be, well, in a scenario in which there's an emergency and I need to be, or somebody needs to be taken to the hospital and they're the only person that can drive a car, to me, that's the only acceptable scenario. And that wasn't their scenario at all.
Well, if you're drunk, you know, you watch it.
Go get daddy some booze.
That's why I'm teaching my daughter how to drive.
Go get daddy some alcohol.
You know, like you chop off a limb, you know, while, you know, doing, you know, sawing something at home and you need to be immediately taken to a hospital. I could understand that. But just to teach a 14-year-old how to drive makes zero sense.
My 18-year-old can't drive. She has no desire to learn how to drive.
I just turned 16, and I have not taken her to take her driving test.
They can elude large boulders, so you end,
damn
you
right.
end up waiting.
Yeah, she's in a city, so, this is her theory.
Some of the topics, parenting, weddings, worst-case scenario college, worst-case scenario dating and sex, worst-case scenario golf, life, broad topic, holidays. We just had a conversation about what could Well, let's ask you, is there a worst-case scenario for avoiding family fights at Thanksgiving gathering?
Yeah, that's in there. I mean, the best way to do it is to learn how to quickly change the topic, obviously.
Right, but, right, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, try to focus on what you can agree upon. You know, turn the conversation to that.
Sex, no religion. Right. Talk about fruitcake.
I thought everybody could agree about sex.
Fruitcake. We all love fruitcake.
So a couple of things. I've done Science After Dark before at the Franklin Institute. It's a blast. I've been to two or three of them over the years. They really know how to throw a great party. So you guys are going to have an awesome time at that. And Quizzo is a really cool way to be a part of it. And secondly, my son is 13, and I handed him the book maybe a month or so ago. And as a parent, you're always trying to get your child to read, right? And I was surprised because... maybe not surprised is the right word, but a kid will often take the book and say, great, Dad, thanks. But he started getting into it, and then the more he read, the more he wanted to read. Are you guys at all taken aback by future generations or current generations being as enthralled by the book as they were 20 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, it's really a family book. I mean, we don't do anything too scary or dangerous, and in fact... The whole premise of the book is kind of hopeful. There are answers.
You'll survive.
Everything you might think of. Yeah. And so, you know, all ages really have always loved the book. But, it you know, people just don't know whether it's real or if it's a joke. It gets...
That's what he asked.
You know?
Is this real?
It's both.
Yeah. It is both. You know, when I was growing up, you join the Scholastic Book Club in school, and I would always get the Guinness Book of World Records, and that was that was bathroom reading, you know? Yeah. And that's exactly what these books are, and they're fun. Let me ask you, with technology, has that introduced a whole new set of surviving... technology, surviving, you know, stuff that we had not even thought about, you know, when you first appeared on the show in 1999.
Yeah, absolutely. And the 20th anniversary, which is the one that you guys are holding that came out in April, we actually have a whole section on technology because, you know, as you alluded to, the internet was kind of in its infancy. So now we have everything from, you know, out of control autonomous vehicles to flaming cell phones to getting doxxed, you know, having your identity stolen. Having a stalker online. So, you know, all these kind of worst case technology laden scenarios that, you know, that didn't really exist.
Flaming cell phones. Frankly.
That's helpful stuff. Yeah. Getting hacked and doxxed and all of that stuff is our real world issues. Yeah.
The survival experience at the Franklin Institute, who curated all this? Who made the decision of which survival techniques were going to go in there and did the actual exhibit itself?
So we worked with an amazing team at the Franklin Institute, including Abby Bish and Larry Dubinsky. They have a whole crew of people who worked to develop it in conjunction with this company out of Minneapolis called EDG and Jeffrey M. Curley Associates, who really...
They
partnered
built
and built it and designed it. And so we took all the material and we all brainstormed it for a period of months and tried to imagine the you know, most outlandish things we could put in there that would be safe to test and came away with 13 awesome ways to kind of test your metal and just have a lot of fun.
Love it.
So is this the first place it's being displayed?
Yeah.
Are we hoping for a tour of this type of thing?
Yeah. It's touring. It goes to the Fleet Science Center in San Diego after the Franklin.
Awesome.
And then a couple of years later, it'll go to Houston. So we've got some gaps in there if museum people are listening. Right. But but yeah, it's going to be around the country for the next few years for sure.
Which is cool. And also with, I think, each as the Franklin does. So this is the step-off point. The debut is the Franklin Institute. But as they move to other locations, they may are you on a consulting basis where you can come in and if they want to add an attraction or something?
I think, you know what, we've carved out square footage for museums to actually personalize it. So for example, Houston, where it's going to go there, they want to do something obviously that's related to space. So we're going to think about how to do something, you know, if you how to survive in a space capsule if you lose your oxygen or something like that. You know,
I was thinking how to go to the bathroom in your seat.
Sure. Well, absolutely. Zero gravity.
It involves a tube and a bag.
This is really next level. I mean, think about that. I mean, you know, you guys had the books, you have the board games. What other iterations have come out of this? Calendars?
There have been, calendars. There was a video game. There was a virtual reality demo that was pretty cool.
But I was wondering about that. Never got made?
No.
This would be perfect for a VR game.
Well, but nobody really wants to do VR, it turns out. Like, you know, who really is going to immerse themselves these days. It just hasn't kind of like
it's too
clicked.
Soon. It's too soon.
Yeah. It's got to be less nausea inducing, I think, okay. for people.
I don't know.
Do
we
it.
Like it. We played VR.
I've got the it's Oculus fun, Go, and I've got the PS, the VR, the PlayStation VR. I love them. They're great. Just,
yeah, they're,
not
they're
everyone's
totally
into
fun.
It though. Yeah,
yeah. It's got to. It needs to be done with just like simple glasses or something so that it's less cumbersome. But right. But yeah, we're talking, you know, with the folks out in Hollywood about some new iterations, film and TV. And
I could see that, like a show or a movie being done about it. But in your wildest dreams, a museum exhibit? That is so cool.
No, it was something that we'd thought of years ago, but never acted on. And then the 20th anniversary, you know, came up this year, and we were thinking a couple years ago, what should we do? And just decided to go talk to them and get some information. Didn't really think the Franklin Institute would actually do it, but they loved it.
Well, it's just so, you know, prevalent and all over. And there are people who have ripped you off, you know, that have done the same sort of thing and shows that have done that. So, you know, I guess that in a way that's flattery. Let me ask you, in all your years of research and all the stuff you've done, what is the scenario solution you're most proud of, each of you?
Oh, man. That's a good question.
Well, I think we have 1,100 scenarios, so you're asking
1,700.
Narrow it down to one scenario.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think the new book has how to remove your own limb if you're. that was a pretty good one.
That wins.
The emergency surgeon was like, "Really? You really want me to tell you how to do this?" I was like, "Yeah, kind of."
I actually like. Escape from a Bad Date, which we did in the dating and sex book.
Dave's used that on many occasions.
I have, it's true. We consulted the guy who was a spy master and was the consultant for Argo, and he actually taught us how you change your appearance and how you slip out unnoticed.
Oh, Tony, what's his name? Yeah. I know exactly
what's
you're talking
last
about.
Last name, I can't remember right now.
Oh, my God.
So you can, and that's part of that. I remember that throughout the books, the people you are citing and your experts are always fascinating. So it's not just like, well, we found this in a deck of cards.
No, we correspond or interview these guys primarily ourselves and have at least some back and forth with them just to make sure that the material's vetted and the way we write it is accurate.
It's awesome.
Tony
awesome.
Mendez, by the way.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Wow. Okay. Well, listen, so the event coming, and by the way, what do you have other books that are pending to come out that you're kind of working on now? Are
we're
you done
working
taking a break?
On
that.
We haven't really decided what comes next. You know, we've done a lot, but things aren't getting any better.
Right.
I don't know.
In fact, there's more things to survive.
Oh, come now, Dave.
you actually have made the world better by providing people escape plans. So there you go. Look at it that way.
Yeah. Hey, listen, they're working on artificial intelligence and drones and things like that. You got plenty of material.
All right, that's right.
All right, climate change is not going away.
Right.
One quick thing. The automated kill drone, you know, like the Boston Dynamics dogs with machine guns on them and all that stuff. Did you ever see the Metalhead episode of Black Mirror?
So, you
working on something like that, or I'm assuming some sort of electronic pulse,
I think laser cats will fix it.
Laser cats.
I'm just developing that.
Yeah, idea, guys. All right, so a couple of things to know. The survival experience at the Franklin Institute, the worst case scenario survival experience, is going on now through April 19th, and you can get tickets through the website, of course, at the Franklin Institute. But the event that these guys are going to be hosting is a Quizzo Science After Hours December 3rd at the Franklin Institute. And I'm sure there's a limited space, so you want to get your tickets now.
Get your tickets. We'll probably sign some books if anybody needs a holiday.
Enormous ball pit that you can jump into. I just want to put that out there. It's super fun.
Oh, nice. It looks great. All the pictures we're seeing look sensational.
And survive quicksand.
Hey, congratulations, guys.
Yeah.
This is that's huge. And we're very proud of you in this area for doing what you've done.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks to David and Josh for being here, guys. Now at the Franklin Institute. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. Let me give away some goodies to eat. $50 gift card from our friends at the Ridley House who are here this morning. 215-263-WMMR. Call number 12. We're going to set you up. Don't forget, you can check WMMR.com on the events page. See all the Miller Lite pre-party locations where you could win a seat at the Christmas Miracle. Four pairs of seats are given out at each appearance. And they're going to be doing one at the Ridley House on Thursday, December 12th. So just a heads up on that. When we return, broadcasting legend Debbie Calton will be in our studio. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Our next guest worked for 10 years at WYSP, and then she spent 26 years at our sister station, WMGK, and most remarkably, in the same day part. Middays for 26 years. That's unheard of, and unfortunately, this is why we're playing the song. We're saying goodbye to her. Next week, she is retiring. Our good friend, Debbie Calton.
Speaking of Christmas lights, Kathy will be horrified. I've had my wreath up since last
Christmas.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I know. So sorry. Yeah.
That's my girl.
Nick loves you for that.
But, Casey, that's why we do things in Delco,
that's
right?
That's how we work in Delco.
I'm so proud of you, Debbie.
Debbie, I have to say that you seem very, very at peace with this decision.
I am. Okay. You know, it didn't. Oh, God, look, you have my picture up there. That's so funny. Yeah, I thought about this starting about a year ago, and I was going to do it, but our boss, Bill Weston, would not let me. And then so I stayed another year, and then I was told I needed to stay until the fall ratings book was over. So that's why December 6th. But I'm good. The best job in the world. Yeah. I mean, seriously, people ask me where I'm going. I'm not going anywhere else. Why would I? This is the best job. I'm just ready to not have a schedule anymore for a while. Yeah, so that's it.
Well deserved. But you voiceover work and stuff like that? That's obviously always an option, yeah.
We'll see. You know, I got a lot of family stuff right in front of me for the next couple of months, so I'll be dealing with that. I don't know if you heard, my uncle discovered a Van Dyke in his art collection.
What?
So
Dick Van Dyke?
Yeah, Dick Van Dyke, yeah. Mary Tyler Moore's in the background.
Wow, that's sensational.
So I'm going to be doing, he's written a book, and I'm going to be doing a little PR for him, but... basically, I'm just going to see where things go. It's a big question mark.
It's very exciting.
And that's what you should do. Just don't, if you want to do stuff later on, do stuff later on. Right now, don't do anything.
Exactly.
Just take it easy.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need to establish a solid work ethic. We get it. You're good.
Well,
yeah.
And you were saying about having that midday shift. That was been the best shift possible. But my son is now 28 years old. I took him to school. I picked him up after school. I mean, I couldn't do anything.
It's the best shift on the clock.
Yeah.
I did middays for like 2 years, and it's just the sweet spot. It is so nice if you can settle in and find your audience. And it's just the best shift to have.
But then you got the bug. You said, I want to wake up at 3:45.
I want to get up early.
Okay, so I did that this morning because we just had our turkey drop at MGK. And so I was doing your hours this morning. So I am so buzzed on caffeine. Do you know, I almost ended up at MMR instead of YSP back in the day. Because
really?
I was working at a station in Chicago, and a new company came in, and everybody got fired or whatever. And so a bunch of people came to Philadelphia. And I thought, well, let me go check out Philadelphia. And I had an interview with the program director here at the time, Charlie Kendall. And so I came in to talk to him, and he left town that day. There was such a fierce rivalry between YSP and MMR back in those days that the program director there at the time, Michael Picozzi, got wind that I was in town or whatever. He says, I'll hire you right on the spot. I don't care what you do, what you sell. All right. Wow. So I ended up going there instead of coming to MMR. Who knows? I could have been Pierre.
You got hired out of spite, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, it was a block to get you to YSP instead of MMR.
I guess, I don't know. It was very interesting the way it all worked out. And Nick, I used to be like kind of my intern at MGK. I mean, he was on the ground crew. Remember all those days at Maddie's that we used to work together?
I do. I also
Maddie's
remember
in Malvern.
I also remember walking into Debbie's studio while she was on air doing an interview. The on air light was on, and I needed to talk to her about something. And I was a rookie, and I to this day regret the decision and still feel shame when I think about it. And you were so nice to me, and I will never be able to thank you enough for just being kind, because I walked right. You were talking like Mick Jagger or something. Yes, it didn't impact you because you just went about your day. But I was like, oh my God, I ruined her show.
Isn't that funny, the stuff that people remember? Because I don't remember that at all. But it's great to still, you know, that you're around still. Yeah. I mean, it's fantastic. And your promotion director, he was a ground crew director for a while. So I go way back with some of these guys, and it's great to see them progress.
So many rich histories, you know, around here, obviously, with Pierre and you, and there is a familial aspect to everything, and, you know, people depart and so on and so forth, but you learn a couple things over the years. Never burn bridges in radio.
Right, yeah.
Always be nice if you can, you know, and all those things come back, and then obviously, if you love it, if you love this and love what you do, then you it's not work, you know, and that's a wonderful thing to have. So for you, you've invested all the time, and you know, the classic questions have to be asked.
Yeah,
your most what memory stands out ahead of them all for you for all of this, these decades of work?
Well, it's funny. I actually got interviewed by my Uber driver last night because he wanted to know what I did. And I said, I work in radio. And I said, but I'm getting ready to retire. He's like, Debbie Calton? I'm like, yeah.
He pre-interviewed
and,
you.
And he did a great, it was like 60 minutes was in the car. I mean, he did a great job. But he was asking about interviews. And David Crosby was like the scariest, but actually turned out to be the greatest. He was so good on air, but every time the mic went off, he'd had a bad morning and he was cranky. Yeah. And every time the mic went off, he was like, and I was almost crying. But then I turned the mic on and he'd be fabulous. He was just fantastic. So,
and you care what goes out on the air. Did you see the recent documentary?
I haven't seen that
yet.
Yeah,
it's pretty wild. Yeah. And he takes ownership of his mercurial
absolutely
way.
And he was very mercurial that morning, but still one of the greatest interviews.
Any rock stars you ever befriended that you would call a friend over the years?
Well, you know, my husband Chip plays with Tommy Stinson, so mm-hmm. they're Cowboys in the Campfire, and Tommy's family. But of course, going to see Guns N' Roses with a guy who was in Guns N' Roses was a really fun experience.
Okay.
I'm really good friends with all of Thurgood's, George Thurgood's band. You know, there's quite a few.
All right, so. how about terror moment on the radio?
Well, that would have been that David Crosby.
really?
Okay.
Well, probably when Nick walked in.
I wasn't sure if any equipment malfunction. You know, so by the way, over the years, and I think we all share this in the industry, and think I might have had one the other night. You have the studio dream.
Oh my God!
The studio nightmare.
I don't have those so much anymore, but every so often I do. And there have been times. You know, when we have equipment changes with our computers and stuff like that, you press a button, there's nothing.
Yeah.
And you press another button and there's nothing there. It's like, oh my God, I'm going to have to keep talking until an engineer comes in here or something like that. I've certainly had those moments.
Yeah. When was the first time you realized, hey, so people are actually listening to me? Or you know, and we all get that time where it's, oh, you are, oh, really?
Well, when you say something that's incorrect and the phone's all light up, that's when. So anyway, but speaking of saying things, my boss is looking at me like, when are you going to get back on the radio at my radio station?
How great must it feel to not really care right now?
So what, did you fire me?
Exactly.
Welcome to this room.
Now, I got to say, though, it has just been a terrific run. Philadelphia has been so good to me. It's just absolutely amazing. You know, I came from another town, and you know, Philadelphia is a tough nut to crack. You.
Yeah.
But when you're accepted here, you are totally accepted here. And I can't say how grateful I am to all the listeners over the years. And I also, you know, getting back to like being nice to people, I remember the first time I really kind of met you guys. I was broadcasting, I think it was Stones U2 concert, I forget. But both you guys came up, and you were still over at Y100 at the time. And you were kind of fangirling. You know?
Totally.
And it was very sweet because I was listening to you guys all the time. And that was so sweet that you did that. Casey always reminds me that when he was a lifeguard in Delco that he used to listen to me. So
yeah, I was at a pool where it was Saybrook Village in Wallingford, and I would say 95% of the people that lived there were elderly, and there was no shade at this pool. So I was by myself for the entire summer. It was me and Debbie Calton for an entire summer.
Wow, that's very special. And also, can I say, there's even more pictures you guys have.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to be on MMR, so thank you.
There you go. Have you ever been on MMR? You ever been on the mic here?
No.
Never?
Never. So
wow.
Thank you very
this
much.
This is our first time in the studio today.
This
I know.
This is a bucket
I'm
list
surprised.
For me to actually be on MMR.
Listen, I want to ask you, you know, all these years of following John DiBella, is it difficult to pick the hairs from this mustache on the microphone when you get on here?
I found my ways to deal with John DiBella over the years. Let's just say that.
Well, you know, the coolest thing is that you've given us a gift, is that we can all go forward and say that we worked with Debbie Cowell, which is an amazing thing.
That's so sweet. Don't make me cry. I'm not crying yet. Thanks, guys.
No problem. You. So you got, when's your last day?
Next Friday, December 6th.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we'll be at the Camp Out for Hunger, so we had to get you in here
this
week.
Yeah, again,
sure.
Casey accosted me on the way to the ladies' room.
I'm sorry.
And that's all right, but I'm glad you did.
He said, tell me that Nick story again.
Is there a party? Are we going to have a party for you?
I don't think there's a party. I mean, I'm going to have people in the studio on December 6th, so Bill's not really aware of that yet.
Have you got an idea of, and you don't have to reveal it here, but do you have a final song picked out?
I do. But I'm not telling anybody, but I do. I have a final hour.
Can you do us a favor?
What's
make
that?
Your final song the Pina Colada song.
Oh, good God. I used to play that when I first started MGK. That's what we were playing.
You've got to send that
Pierre,
out to Pierre.
We've never heard Pierre talk ill about any music or musician, but he despises that song.
He does, yeah.
If you like Pina Colada. Oh, God. Thank you. that.
I dare you to play that one for him.
All right, what song, and I know you got to get out of here, but what song that you're currently playing kind of blows you away that it's quote-unquote classic rock right now?
Well, so we've started playing Soundgarden and Alice in Chains and Metallica and stuff
Pearl
like
Jam.
That. So Pearl Jam, yeah. Well, I know that's big for you. Yeah. So that's kind of cool. I mean, it's truly an evolution, you know. And again, when I first started at MGK, it was a greatest hits of the 70s. So we were playing the Pina Colada song. We were playing the Spinners. We were playing the Stones. We were playing such a mishmash. If it came out in the 70s, we were playing it. So this has been a very interesting evolution.
Wow. Yeah, awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, listen, it's been an honor to work with you and be a part of the same broadcast family. And we wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you so much, guys. You Thanks bet. For having me.
Debbie Carlton, guys. And she is done next week. Wow. Okay. We should take a quick break. Come back in a moment.
Well, we got time for the Bizarre File, bro.
Oh, my God. That's this break.
Yes.
You're right. Let's do the Bizarre File.
WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it's brought to you this morning by Lorenzo's and Sons Pizza. Lorenzo and Sons Pizza has been family-owned and operated since 1970. You can visit Lorenzo and Sons at Xfinity Live in Westchester and in the Wells Fargo Center. So here's somebody who was thinking on their feet. A scary situation of alleged domestic violence in Oregon ended with the suspected abuser in handcuffs, all because the victim's daughter used an innovative approach to seek help. She dialed 911, but instead of asking for police, she pretended to order a pizza. The victim's daughter said that she used this tactic to keep the person who was hitting her mom in the dark, that she was calling for help. That way, he wouldn't run away before the police got there. The strategy worked. And
In his
14 years of service, the call that the dispatcher, a guy named Tim Tenyuk, has never gotten before said, but is something that nobody's ever really been trained for. He said, we're just trained to listen.
Wow.
And he alerted officers to turn their sirens off when responding because his intuition was that something wrong was going on. So here's the audio from that call.
911.
I would like to order a pizza.
You called 911 to order a pizza?
Yeah.
This is the wrong number to call for a pizza.
No, you're not.
I'm getting you now. What apartment? The other guy still there?
Yep. I need a large pizza.
All right. How about medical? You need medical?
No, with pepperoni.
All right. We'll get him going.
Thank you.
There you go.
Gosh,
smart enough to think that through. Yeah. Unfortunately, the guy didn't hang up, thinking it was a prank call or
that
whatever
just gave
it was.
Me the chills.
Totally. Absolutely. So thinking on her feet, and that did it. Neighbors watched a dog take the ride of a lifetime. It was stuck inside a car, spinning in reverse for about an hour. Neighbors said the dog didn't seem to mind it at all.
He didn't get out of the cock-a-doodle car!
You got it! You got to use it twice now!
Neighbor Anna Sobel looked out her window Thursday morning, and a police car grabbed her attention, and then she said, I saw another cop car, and then another cop car, and she realized they were all responding to a gray sedan spinning in reverse in a cul-de-sac. And the one occupant inside was a black Labrador.
Oh, my God.
She said, I laughed. He was a better driver than most of the people I've seen around here. Police say the dog's owner had briefly stepped out of the car when the dog somehow knocked the car into reverse. Police said that they were able to stop the joyride by punching a passcode into the driver's side door, but not before the dog took out a mailbox, a trash can, and moved some bricks in front of a home. And they
could have
said,
been a lot worse.
Yeah.
He said he was doing pretty good until he hit the mailbox. He went around for about an hour without hitting anything at all, Sobel said. Police say there were no one was injured in the incident, and they said that the dog seemed pretty happy when he got out. His tail was wagging. He was
went
happy.
For a drive.
Yeah.
Sure.
And it's funny, the car was going fairly slow. Sometimes you'll see them, they're going fast.
Whipping, yeah.
Out of control. Now another story, a Chihuahua. Same thing sort of happened on Friday. This was in Louisiana. A man and a woman stopped to pump some gas in their SUV at a store. And at some point between the gas being pumped and the customer paying and leaving, police say the dog put the car in reverse. And no one else was inside the car.
He didn't get out of the cock-a-doodle car!
The SUV began moving backwards.
That's three times!
And eventually came to a stop at another gas station across the street. Not only is it a mystery how the dog put it into gear, I mean, it's a Chihuahua. It's
amazing.
A tiny little dog.
Yeah, the dog's name's Annabelle.
But it's a miracle
that no other cars were hit or people were hurt when the SUV crossed four lanes of traffic with the dog on board.
Some people call her Annabelle.
Police say one of the owners of the dog sustained minor injuries while trying to chase down and stop the SUV.
It's astonishing.
No word at this point on whether the dog's owners were cited or if the dog will have his license suspended.
Did you get the story about the support lobster that started up and drove a big wig?
I'm going to save that for tomorrow, yeah. High Point University student Morgan Taylor came across an unexpected sight Wednesday night after witnessing what appeared to be an employee at a local nail salon butchering a deer carcass inside of the salon.
Oh, wow.
And I saw the picture of it. I mean, it's like right there in the middle of the salon, she's gutting this deer.
So is that part of the service?
Maybe.
Nails and venison?
The salon is Diamond Nails, and Taylor posted an image of the scene on social media showing a woman going to work on the deer meat in what looks to be a waiting area in the salon.
With her teeth.
She captioned the image with the hashtag, not fawned and oh buck no. While encouraging anyone who is hunting for a nail salon in the area to visit this establishment that specializes in manicures, pedicures, and amateur deer butchers. She had never visited the salon before, but did report the incident to the NC Cosmetic Arts. No one has responded to a comment from the media about it.
I think that would not be hygienic, correct?
That's what I would think, but, you know, interesting. A Utah teacher, okay, listen to this story. A Utah teacher was charged with kidnapping for allegedly taking a 5-year-old girl off school grounds for nearly 40-minute walk in what she claimed was a huge misunderstanding. Amy Martz could face 15 years to life in prison if convicted of what she says was simply trying to help a child get home. She said, "I did not kidnap a child. I followed a clearly distraught child as she left the school grounds. I felt she was not safe traveling alone." Police say the girl's mother went to school to report that her daughter, who is autistic and nonverbal, had never made it home. A short time later, Martz called to say the child was with her. They walked more than a half a mile away from the school. Martz, a sixth grade teacher, by the way, was charged Monday with child kidnapping, a first degree felony for the unauthorized stroll. Surveillance video shows her and the girl walking hand in hand away from the school. Another teacher reported seeing Martz try to give the girl a piggyback ride. Martz stressed her intent was never to kidnap a child. She said, "I had no intent to interfere with the child's trip home. I was providing safety to what I felt was a vulnerable child because she was distraught." The incident began when she spotted the girl sobbing uncontrollably and leaving school grounds. She said, so she took the girl by the hand to help her find her way home, only learning later the child had trouble communicating. She said, "At each fork in the road, I stopped and said, 'Which way home?' And she would confidently say, 'This way home.' But after a while," she said, "I finally realized that this cute girl did not know where she was going. And since she only intended to be gone for a couple of moments," she said, "she left her purse, her cell phone in her classroom, and even left her own child behind to wait for her. Eventually, she went to a house and asked to borrow a phone and called the school." Martz said she tried to explain the situation to the girl's parents, who only speak Spanish, but believes that a language barrier contributed to the mix-up. She said, "At the end of the day," the dad asked, "at the end, so you just took her?" She said, "No, and I repeated the story again. I felt the language may have been a barrier to understanding my good intentions and the safety I provided." She only learned that she had been charged. She was contacted by a local outlet seeking comment. She then learned there was a $25,000 warrant out for her arrest, so she turned herself in. Yeah. Isn't that wild? So I hope they're going to figure this thing out. And this is why, you know, listen, I've seen kids that appeared to be lost before at, like, an event where there's people. And I'm like,
and you might,
yeah.
Where can I step in and when am I, you know what I mean?
No, you get worried. And someone, it sounds like she was really trying to be a good Samaritan.
Agreed.
If you have somebody that you need to communicate with who speaks a different language, talk slowly in English, but loudly.
Right.
They will understand.
Now you cleared up.
Yeah.
No, but if you've seen a child that needs comforting, that might be crying and nobody's around to help them, I mean, you have to approach cautiously, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's stories like that that make you go, oh, man.
You're on your own.
You know? So, yeah. Sorry, kid. Yeah. It's a tough world out there.
It's life in the big city.
Yep. All right. And there you go. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File. Didn't mean that on a kind of a downer one, but that's where we are. All right, let us take a break. When we get back, we're going to see if you've been paying attention. We'll have a lesson question for the day. Trash and music news. I've already given away all my gift cards for the Ridley House, but I do want to remind you that they are going to be part of our
Christmas Miracle broadcast, and it's in conjunction with Miller Lite, and December 12th, they're going to be giving away tickets for the Christmas Miracle broadcast.
Awesome.
Dude, we give away our biggest prizes of the year.
We do.
At the Christmas Miracle, so make sure that you're there December 12th from 9 to 11 p.m. at Ridley House. We'll be back in a moment.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Kathy's Big Bag of Gifts, what we're giving away for the Word of the Week prize this week. And we will do that tomorrow, not like normal. You know, it's not on a Friday. It's a short week. And do you want to highlight some of the things you're going to give away, Kath?
Yeah, sure. So PJ Masks, PJ Seeker is actually a really, really cool gift for a little boy. We have the Magformers Amazing Police Set. Everybody, we actually had a Not Your Average listener on that worked for Kinex. Remember that? Uh-huh. So we have a Pac-Man roller coaster building set. We have a cat construction vehicle. And then, Casey, do you have this or do you just know about it? It's the Lawnmower 2.0 from Manscaped.
Yeah, it's for your nutsack. I mean, literally.
Really?
Yes. I mean, they are as overt as possible when they're like, dude, it's for your junk, bro. You know? Yes, that's
straight
what
up,
it is.
Straight up, bro-dozer.
I got to stop saying bro.
Casey has been using bro a lot the past few days.
If you've known me a long time.
I have.
Over 20 years.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed this about me, but I have a thing, and I'll stick with it for a couple of months.
Yeah.
So bro.
Hot minute.
And I will be something else in hopefully a month or so.
You've been calling your son bro.
Yeah, I know. He bro'd me the other day.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
What's up? Did you just bro me? He's like, yeah, bro. I'm like, I love you.
All right, so we're giving this stuff away on Wednesday, tomorrow,
and it's
over $700 in prizes, so you will be set as far as the gift giving goes.
Yeah, be prepared. Like, bring a friend when you come to pick it up, because it's a lot of stuff.
Yep, agreed. All right, so we're going to do today's lesson question. We are going to give away a pair of tickets to see Kurt Metzger and Luis Gomez on Friday, January 17th. That's a punchline. Okay, so the question that we have for you this morning is, what subsidiary of Build-A-Bear is now available in the airport? 215-263-WMMR. What subsidiary of Build-A-Bear is now available in the airport? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now if you know the answer.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Star Restaurants. This holiday season, put Star Restaurant gift cards at the top of your shopping list. Good at 39 destinations, including Budokan, The Love, and Park. And you can pick one up today or visit stargiftcards.com. That's S-T-A-R-R giftcards.com. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Joseph Parisi, who received a $100,000 investment on Shark Tank, has been arrested for selling narcotics overseas. Ironically, the product Parisi pitched on Shark Tank makes it easier to sell narcotics overseas.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Princess Beatrice, the daughter of Prince Andrew, is reportedly distraught over her father's friendship with deceased convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. Beatrice is jealous because her friend's dad is friends with Duran Duran. And finally, Miley Cyrus and new boyfriend Cody Simpson are getting ready to spend Thanksgiving with Miley's family. In fact, the unconventional Cyrus family has offered Cody the honor of fisting the turkey.
Oh, my God.
And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All righty. Let us see if we can find a winner. What subsidiary of Build-A-Bear is now available at the airport? And 215-263-WMMR. Is our number, and we'll get a caller as soon as they put that caller on hold. I am certain they probably have the right answer.
And here it comes any second now.
Caller on line four.
Ladies and gentlemen, any second now, we sense that call will be put on hold, and then we'll have a contestant who will participate in the game. Preston is participating in himself.
Does it say he's on hold in your...
No, there's an X that indicates the conversation is still in effect.
Let me go see what's going on there, guys.
Casey's now going to leave the studio and see what's going on with the caller.
Yeah.
In Any second now, the Hindenburg not quite to the mooring mast.
We've had a couple of technical issues this morning, so that it might be the case. Casey, yeah, is it frozen?
Phones are a little wacky over there.
Okay, well, Joe says build a gun. Joe got it right.
Yay!
Yes, Joe, congratulations.
Yay. Last time, first time.
All right, so build a gun is the
now he's gone.
Answer. Now he's gone.
So we have an extra gift now to give away.
No. We're going to set Joe up with a pair of tickets to see Kurt Metzger and Luis J. Gomez on Friday, January 17th, 9:45 p.m. at Punchline Philly. You can get tickets for all their shows, January 17th through the 19th at punchlinephilly.com. The shows are 21 and over. Let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! All right, we will begin with news about Motley Crue. Guitarist Mick Mars says he was clearly joking when he said in a 2014 interview that he would invite the world to come for free if Motley Crue ever reunited following its 2014 farewell tour. Mars added that he was wrong at the time to say that the band would never tour again after completing what was billed as the final trek. He posted on his Instagram page, while I was clearly joking about the free tickets at night, I was also deeply convinced that we would never, ever be touring again. I would never have expected to be facing a whole new generation of fans demanding to see us play.
And it's so soon after that they announced this. But I'll tell you this. Since seeing that movie, The Dirt, I have an appreciation for Mick Mars that I didn't have before. I don't know if that's accurate to who he is. Maybe you're familiar with him, you know, but the character, at least as portrayed in the movie, I liked him. I liked his
He was
his
always
attitude.
A bit of a mystery to me. Yeah. In real life, he knew more about Tommy and Vince than any, and Nicky, honestly, than Mick. But he
was much older than the other bandmates.
Yeah, and he had a kid. He was going through things that they weren't. He got really sick, but he was also kind of a bit of a curmudgeon as well,
yeah.
Which is kind of charming in a weird
way.
Know?
He wasn't taking crap from them.
Yeah, yeah. So he said, anyways, I'm eating a lot of crow and humble pie this Thanksgiving.
He looks like it.
For those remarks, and except that some of you see this as me being dishonest, I said what I said and I was wrong. Peace, he says. So you're going to have to buy your tickets. Ghost Mayman Tobias Ford said in a new interview that he's following the career template established by Metallica, with his band's fifth LP due in 2021 likely to be as important to Ghost as the Black Album was for the latter group.
I like that template.
He said, I regard Metallica as colleagues and friends now, but they're still Metallica. When I look to Metallica for influence, I'm looking at what they did in 1988. We're on our fourth album, as they were on the Damaged Justice tour, so the next stop is the Black Album for me. The singer added that he wasn't speaking about the music on the next Ghost album, but its place and overall evolution in his band's career. He said that doesn't mean to expect riffs. It's two different things, what the record sounds like and knowing to put yourself in the right spot at the right time. He said, when I had nothing and lived in a small apartment that cost very little because the ceiling leaked, the dream was to be able to live off making music. When I had kids, it became even more important. Now is the time for something. It's about something else. I'm responsible for showing my wife and my kids that all these years of waiting for me have been worth it. One day my kids will be grown up and I will have to be able to show them that all this time playing rock shows had a real purpose. The Killers played their first concert in South Florida in almost 2 years on Saturday. This was at the Riptide Music Festival in Fort Lauderdale. Where they made one local fan's night by bringing him up on stage to perform with the band. I think this is cool because usually it's a guitarist that they'll drag up to play.
Yeah.
17-year-old Jason Verabe faced the crowd of 35,000 from behind the Killers drum kit.
Wow.
After singer Brandon Flowers pulled him on stage to play For Reasons Unknown off the Killers' second studio album, Sam's Town. The high schooler caught Flowers' attention by holding a sign asking to play with the group. Flowers appeared amazed by Verabe, who confidently took over for drummer Ronnie Vannucci Jr., and got to hear Flowers lead the crowd in chanting his name after the song was done. Verabe called it the most mind-boggling experience ever, saying that he first started playing when he was 5 and counts Vannucci Jr. as one of his heroes. He said, this is something that I've been dreaming of for a long time, It was the most incredible experience, and I'm still speechless.
That is so awesome. You know, it's the only, the kind of thing that only happens at rock concerts. You'll never see, like, during a performance of Death of a Salesman.
Right.
Let me play Willie.
Right.
You know? They'll All right, come on up.
Yep. Usually doesn't happen.
Yeah, like but that, so. Well, you've had the experience of playing with Steel Panther on stage.
Yeah, I did it three times.
Yeah.
And it's pretty damn awesome, man.
I mean, that's it.
In front of a packed crowd.
All right, so what would your dream concert be that you were invited up to play?
Paul McCartney? Yep. Play with a Beatle? You kidding me?
Yeah.
That would be it.
You got a new drummer tonight.
Yeah.
You probably know him from the band Saint.
It would be a great like that. It wouldn't be Rush or something like that. I just did that would be that's too much.
Preston, yeah. Come up here and drum on that Christmas song.
How disappointing would that be?
Really, Paul?
Yeah, really.
Is there any chance we could, you know...
Get behind the goddamn drum kit.
I mean, I'll even do, you know, like, say, or something you do with Michael Jackson. But
no.
Really
Get
play.
Your ass back there now.
I don't want to play the Christmas song.
Really?
I'll even do Spies Like Us, if you want. But I just let's not play this
one. Listen to that tasty drum riff.
Just be like, no thanks, Paul. Leave the stage.
It's okay.
Yeah. Oh.
Really?
Never mind.
Thanks for no thanks.
It's okay.
I'm going back to my seat.
Yeah. Evanescence has shared its cover of the 1977 Fleetwood Mac classic, The Chain.
Oh, that's a great song.
It's an amazing song. I'm curious as to how this sounds. It's the first studio track from the band in 8 years, and it's taken from the soundtrack of the Gears 5 video game, the latest installment in the massively popular Gears of War series.
I loved the first. Did you play Gears of War at all?
No.
It had an incredible battle mechanism in the first and second game, and then the subsequent games all just seemed like expansion packs.
Singer Amy Lee said about the song, the lyrics...
Paul McCartney said.
Make me feel... about
Feels
the game.
Like an expansion pack.
Right. Amy Lee said about the song, the lyrics make me feel the power of standing together against great forces trying to pull us apart.
Huh.
Perhaps even from the inside. We're beyond excited to share this with our fans. I'm really looking forward to playing it live. So, yeah, you know what? I haven't heard it yet. I will make sure I listen to that when we're done with the show today. And that is all I have in music news. I'm channeling my Casey.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow.
Whoa.
Anyway.
You kind of sound like I went to see Frozen 2.
Anyway,
you sound a little bit like
Olaf.
Like Olaf.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
just all a little right.
bit. And you sound
in
a bit
summer
like Annabelle.
A little like Annabelle.
Oh my
maybe.
Goodness.
Right. Hey, Living Color just hey. Instagram messaged us.
What? Really?
Yeah. That's cool. They looked at our Instagram feed of. I'm sorry to do this in the middle.
No. This qualifies as breaking news.
Let me do this first.
Some people call her Annabelle.
Okay, now you can do it.
So he says, whoever wrote this from Living Color says, hope to be a part of the Camp Out for Hunger again soon, and then hope you guys can come see us on December 21st at Ardmore Music Hall, which is neat. And we often reference that performance that they did at Camp Out. It was one of the best we've ever had.
Nice.
It was great.
Excellent. I have to give away a stocking stuffer that includes, it's from Disney, and Pixar's Toy Story 4 and Disney's The Lion King on DVD, plus a $50 gift card to the Disney store. Toy Story 4 and The Lion King are available now on digital Blu-ray and 4K Ultra HD. Perfect this holiday season for everyone on your list. So we'll take caller number 12 and give that to you, 215-263-WMMR.
Did you see the most recent Lion King?
No, but I did see Frozen 2 yesterday, and I did want to tell you guys, even my daughter was like, we came out and she's like, essentially saying that the animation is even sharper now.
Yeah, no doubt.
Since the last one, it's a marked up in its detail.
And you said Elsa's hotter.
She's hotter. It was wild.
Our favorite Disney princess.
Yeah. They sexified her up even more. It was pretty wild.
Like crotchless stuff?
Not quite that. But part of the theme of the movie is...
Let it show?
No, they've grown up.
Oh.
Yep. Okay. So she's a little milkier or what?
Meaning...
She's thirsty.
Yeah.
Her complexion?
No, I meant like her boobs are bigger.
She doesn't have very big boobs.
No, I mean, she's pretty slender.
As a rendered character, she just is. You know, that's it. And they're designed to be this way to turn on all day.
Oh, are they?
Oh my god.
No.
All right, I didn't mean to head down this path. I was just going to tell you the animation is pretty sharp.
And is it a darker? The story is darker overall, right? Yeah, there's more of a survival element to it.
They touch on death directly.
Really?
I mean, her parents died in the first movie, and that's not hidden away or brushed off. It's a big part of the story, actually, which is kind of interesting. One of the funny parts, though, is Olaf does recap the entire first movie.
Oh, really?
The entire movie. He explains.
Oh, really? Oh, that's cool.
It was pretty funny. Pretty funny segment. But it was my daughter, when we were done, she said, that distracted me. She said, I would turn around and go watch that again right now.
Wow. So well, that's that good praise.
So I thought it was good. I thought it wasn't as perfect as the first movie, but it's definitely fun. So. But anyhow, we're giving that Disney package away. Call number 12. We will set you up with that. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Get the letter of the day for that word of the week prize. And I'm going to go have another chicken cheesesteak from the Ridley House. If you guys don't mind. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Totally Office Calendar 2020. Shot on location at the Met, Philadelphia. 12 magnificent months featuring the most gorgeous girls and our loveliest listeners. Join us during the Camp Out for Hunger for the official release party Wednesday, December 4th from 6 to 9 inside Xfinity Live. Get your hands on a free calendar, hang with the home morning show, and meet the girls of Preston and Steve's Totally Office Calendar 2020. Purchase info and complete details at WMMR.com. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
I would like to first and foremost thank our food providers today, the Ridley House, who came by here. Thank you, Patrick and Joan Rose and Peter and anybody else I missed. I apologize.
Excellent food.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Their chicken cheesesteak is fantastic. They brought in cheesesteak pot stickers and Italian pork egg rolls and some salad and stuff. So don't forget that we did announce that the President Steve Christmas Miracle is coming up. I believe that's on the 19th of December. And leading up to it, it's the Middle Light Ugly Sweater Edition. Leading up to it, we're going to have some appearances where you can win tickets to the event. And of course, remember, if you get into the event, you have a chance to win some of our biggest prizes of the year. And December 12th, from 9 to 11, we'll be giving out tickets at the Ridley House, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, listen, you call in and we'll have opportunities to win on air, mm-hmm. but this is sort of a way to cut out a lot of people. So you head out to the event and you up your shot at getting an invite to, as you said, the one event with the best prizes of the year.
Yep, so mark your calendar for that now. Hang on a second, I got to go to this call. Hi, is this Jim? Jim, what do you want, man?
I think I heard a secret sounder.
Yeah, I guess technically you did. Yeah, it's Tuesday. Yeah. Play it. If you hear a sound effect in a song on a Tuesday, then you just got to be whatever call we pick up.
Yep.
And then we're gonna give you a case of Yards Brawler, all right, man?
All right, sounds good.
Hang on a second. We'll get your information. Thank it you. Is perfect for fall tailgates and impromptu celebrations. Philly beer with a knockout flavor. Look for it wherever fine beers are sold, including Works at Why I'm Missing. So congratulations to you, sir. Speaking of congrats, we may as well stay on that line and give something else away. I'd like to get today's Tuesday, so it's Tattoos Day.
Yeah.
Tattoos Day song, please. Thank you. We had solicited for people to text in for a Preston Steve tattoo, and we did indeed get a winner, and it is Jared McGee. Of Haddon Heights, New Jersey. And Jared has now got a $350 gift certificate for world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo. And don't forget, they're located at 621 South 4th Street in South Philly. You can get tattooed by the area's top tattoo artists like a Mr. Don Juan. You can see his work on Instagram at Don Juan Tattoos or PhiladelphiaEddiesTattoo.com. Thank you also to David Borgnick and Josh Piven, who came by.
Yeah.
Authors of The Worst Case Scenario and the Survival Experiences at the Franklin Institute. It's an entire exhibit about their series of books. It's going on now through April 19th. And those guys are going to be hosting a quizzo at Science After Hours on December 3rd at the Franklin Institute. The theme of the night is Home Alone and includes a survival course based on the movie.
Yeah.
But they're going to be doing a quizzo thing. Should be pretty cool. They were very nice guys. And the very lovely Debbie Calton.
Yeah.
Who came by this morning. She is retiring from WMGK next week. She's the counterpart of the gentleman sitting here in the studio who works on our sister station in the same time frame, Pierre.
Right.
Yeah. Sound just like her. Wow. What a coincidence.
She's a great lady.
She is a great,
great lady.
Absolutely.
Very, very nice person as well.
Yeah.
So what's her last day next Friday?
Friday, yeah. And we'll be at the camp out, so we need to have her on this week. So
yeah, very nice. Good that you did that.
Hey, how was the airport?
Airport was fun. You know, it really was fun. They couldn't have been nicer. And we have so many what they call ramp workers. Anyone who works below the concourse is a ramp worker. So that could mean anyone from baggage claim to people out on the
tarmac
to the people who, you know, wave the planes in to all these different, you know, to mechanics. And a lot of those folks listened to us and they were all coming by. And then I was trying to stop pilots, but they didn't want to talk to me. I'd waved. You can tell a pilot because I got that little uniform thing on. And I said, "Good day, Captain." And they would just go right past.
Wow.
So, but no, it was fun. We had a great time.
Awesome.
Nice. Yeah.
It sounded great. Yeah.
We made some money, you know, a little money for Camp Out for Hunger. And we welcomed some people home. We scared some people away. And
celebs came back after that CSNBC do good?
Just the one guy, Malcolm Nance.
I did hear your interview and your conversation with Stephanie from Philabundance, and that was really cool to hear because she was talking about what the airport does, and it really reinforced part of the reason why you're there in the first place, to talk about Camp Out, to talk about food insecurity, and to talk about what great work Philabundance does. So that was a nice segment.
Well, yeah, and I was trying to figure out how the airport would actually be able to get involved, really, because I had heard they'd had bins in the terminal, but it turns out they're in the entrance area. So if you're dropping someone off, you can bring food, or if you are departing, you can bring some food. And each terminal has an area where you can drop off food for Philabundance.
That's excellent.
Okay. It's pretty cool.
We know that you're well versed in all the rules and laws of the airport.
Very well. Very well. Well, one of the ramp workers was saying, "I've seen you run through this airport so many times."
Oh, that's really funny.
That's great.
One time he helped me, actually, because I got there and the gate agent said, I'm sorry, ma'am. Call me whatever you like. If you let me on the plane, I'll
just don't call me late for dinner.
Call me Spot. I don't care.
Yeah.
But the lady was not going to let me on because it was 20 minutes. I said, "I can make it. I can easily run through this airport." She goes, "No, it's 20 minutes, sir. You're going to have to get. And he came out of the thing and he goes, "You could let him on. He's okay." And somehow he got me on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was cool.
I would imagine seeing Pierre in the airport is a lot like a Sasquatch sighting.
Yes.
Yeah. Because he would go flying right by you and you're like, "Did I just see that?
What was that?
Was that Pierre? Did I just see Bigfoot?"
Bigfoot, yeah. So, I know that airport very, very well.
Yeah.
And it was fun.
We should do the letter. Are you ready? Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter
I, as in illegal.
We now have two letters, and a third one gets you the prize if you're the right caller tomorrow. And it's Kathy's holiday gift giveaway. She loves shopping so much, she did your holiday shopping for you. There's something for everyone. Over $700 in prizes for this thing. And they're all in our office.
They are all in our office. And you know what? One that I just wanted to mention, because it's my favorite, and you guys know I've been looking for this for a couple of years, but Macy's has a wine cellar, if you didn't know.
Really?
And they sent an advent calendar, wine advent calendar. It's awesome.
So I mainly saw toys in there.
There's a lot of toys.
But also you have adult toys.
I've got...
Well, not adult toy. You know what I mean.
Vibrators.
I don't have adult toys. That is not included in
butt plugs, Benoit balls.
Strap ons,
flashlights,
ball gags,
all that stuff. God,
plenty of things. Cool. Whips.
Yeah.
I have gifts for adults.
Okay,
that's
gifts
how
for
we
adults.
Can say it.
What's a wine? What was the thing
wine
you said?
Advent.
Remember an advent?
Wide advent. What's that mean?
An advent calendar. When you were a kid, you'd
wine.
Well, I know why.
You said wide.
Right.
But anyway, go ahead.
Do you know what an advent calendar is? Okay. It's the countdown.
Catholic thing?
Yeah, it's countdown to Christmas.
I forgot what that was.
When you were a kid, there was, you know, there's a little door for each day and there was a little piece of chocolate. They've made it bigger and better and for adults, and now you open up a little door and there's a bottle of wine in there for
you. It's not just Catholic.
Oh, I've blocked all that out. Okay.
I love the advent calendar. I do one every year for my wife, yeah.
Very cool. All right. There it is.
And there it is. So what's up on the show today, man?
On the program today, we will have workforce blocks, which will be fun, of everything from Bush to Fleetwood Mac to Rancid. Tim Armstrong's birthday was yesterday, but we did an hour and a half of flying and airline songs, so we didn't get to any specific workforce blocks yesterday, so we will do that today. And I want to remind folks again on Thursday to join us for the traditional Thanksgiving show, which will include Alice's Restaurant at 10 a.m. and 12 noon and 2 p.m., which people seem to like.
Yes. They do. It's a tradition.
I was in the Wawa about a month and a half ago, and this lady goes, "Oh, my God, I love your Thanksgiving program." I said, "I'm on about 300 other days of the year, too." She goes, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, but yeah. I mean, I love the Thanksgiving program." I go, You could tune in like on Monday.
not so much.
I don't think so. I don't get the rest of it. But
that one day,
boy, you're just on. You're just the cat's meow. Well, and I've heard a couple of those. I love it. Thanksgiving.
Take them when you can get them, man.
Yeah, no, you get what you get.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I want to thank our sponsors. The Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Winter Airport Parking, fastest way in and out of Philly International Airport. I'm sure you saw those guys in their red jackets you were out there yesterday. Also brought to you by Wilmington University. Experience the WilmU difference by visiting wilmu.edu. Tomorrow on the program, it's a Wednesday, so we're going to go live on Fox Good Day. And our 2019 Calendar Girl Hottie Cam Extravaganza. What?
2020. I wrote down the wrong
year. You're right.
Year.
You did.
I'm such an a-hole.
2020 Calendar Girl Hottie Cam Extravaganza.
Yeah.
We'll reveal the ladies and who's on the cover. They don't even know who's on the cover.
They have no idea.
All right, so that's tomorrow. Those things and more. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow again. Bye-bye.
Markets proudly supports Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger beginning Monday, December 2nd at Xfinity Live in the Wells Fargo Center complex. If scheduling prevents you from attending in person, you can still make a difference. Stop by your local Acme throughout November and make a donation at the register. Just look for the Camp Out can when you go. Your donation goes towards foods that fill abundance needs most to help area families. Go to WMMR.com/campout. For complete details and a list of especially needed food items, Acme Markets and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.